down base value. So you made the crash. How was that?
It's surprisingly short.
Really?
That wasn't an all-nighter.
Yeah.
And that's because you came with this.
Dana, who is on his way here. That way he will hear the beginning of the meeting, and he's going to promise not to say anything, which of course would wreck the Brown Act stuff. Here you go. Say no more.
All right. I will sit down.
Thank you. So now we know who's here. And when I spoke to Dana about 10 minutes ago, he was in Los Gatos on his way here from Sacramento. So I didn't want him to miss the beginning of the meeting. There are some things that we will probably not do until he's here. But we should just specifically the schedule, which I think it makes sense just to wait. It won't take long to do that when we do it. Here's the agenda. Such as it is, we started with the one that's actually printed and tweaked it a little bit. so that it suits what we've done and what remains to be done. The first thing is the, the first thing on here, the one that we've got already, is the problem statement. We put this down to here, and we're proposing that you will probably want to wait until at least after you've discussed this, or maybe after you've completed more work on more of your work to actually decide what your problem statement really is. Yes, sir.
At the risk of being booed by everyone here, I'm having trouble seeing that sign because of the backlit. And you too, I can't really see your face.
I tell you what we'll do.
Let's do this.
Yeah, I mean, if you can dim the background, that would be great.
I'm just going to lower the screen. We'll probably want it bigger than anything.
Still see the water, but
right. You just want to see a little bit of light.
No bees are necessary.
Is that as low as it goes? Is that as low as it goes?
No, it goes way down.
Yeah, good. If you could lower it just another couple of feet, that would help me.
I think we want to be able to see the just the top of the way.
Good. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Out there, the bird.
Okay. Something's turning them on. There you go. How's that? How's this?
That's good. Thank you.
Okay. Much,
much better.
So, start out with discussing the charter and really what we're going to do. We'd rather not spend a lot of time on that in this meeting. You can work out a way of getting around that. So we call it charter triage. Master over here. And, perhaps a subcommittee, I mean, we talked about that a little bit yesterday, a subcommittee to handle the charter. We need to visit and decide what we're going to do about the milestone report, the first milestone report, which you will complete and present when you finish the planning, which you're not going to do today, we believe. So we need to decide how you're going to handle that. I've mentioned the problem statement already. This is the work plan. Options A or B or other. You've seen material about this. There's more that we can show you if we get to it, if you want to see it as part of the discussion. This could be a big item. This could take a lot of time. Then there's the consultant. The question around hiring the consultant. Again, this could be an item that takes a long time. It could be an item that you deal with amazingly and quickly. I don't know what will happen next. Before we end, we want to set the agenda for May. We have an oral communication. This is an opportunity for the public to speak to you about anything to do with water policy, not necessarily on the agenda, with water supply, rather, not necessarily on the agenda. And then we'll take a wrap-up. Really find out, you know, collect the loose ends together, remember what we need to do next time, and do an evaluation of the three meetings that we've had just to make sure we know what's working, what's not working. Any questions or comments about this? David?
Yeah, my question has to do with the public's oral communications.
Yes.
At least what I'm accustomed to from other meetings is that as we topically go through the agenda, there's some discussion by the meeting body, then it is opened up to public comment by agenda item. And then we take it back and make a decision. And so are we going to have oral communications as to each item on our agenda, or simply at one time when they can address us? And does that comply with the Brown Act if we do it that way?
What we have proposed is that we had public comment at the beginning of the first session, which it technically gives the community, the public, an opportunity to make comments on any item on the agenda that's coming. And then we have an oral communication at the end, which is essentially open season on comments. You can talk about anything you want to do with water supply. That complies with the Brown Act. If you want to do more than that, we can do more than that. We have to juggle your schedule, really. That's the thing. I'm really conscious of the fact that you don't have a lot of time in meetings, and we hope that you're going to have plenty of time, or be taking plenty of time in other other places and other kinds of meetings, where you probably have an opportunity to obtain public input. But it's, I mean, what you're describing is a perfectly, is not uncommon. And if you wanted to have that, we need to discuss it and decide. Yes, Mike.
I thought before David was here, we had a sense that people would not be, the public would not be commenting on every small discussion that we might have, but when we found ourselves about to make some major decision to reject an alternative, not looking at it further, it's hopeless, it's no useful to us. Before we did that, they but all the work that led us to that point, they wouldn't be waiting on that. But before the final decision, do we now agree that this is a dead project? The public could have a chance to speak. And so, before we sort of become a major consensus, or consensus on major issues.
So
that's what I thought people were saying yesterday. But
I'm entirely comfortable with it if we don't have public comment as to each decision. My question was really about compliance, because it was my understanding, usually when you have an open comment period at the beginning of an agenda, it's for items not on the agenda, and then the public gets to comment on the agenda items as it goes forward. And as long as it's compliant not to do it that way, I'm fine with it.
Okay. Now, my understanding is that we're in compliance.
Okay.
I'm sort of looking over my shoulder. But that's my understanding. Erica?
I'd just like to say that I'd like to give anybody an opportunity today to speak as well, because there are people who just weren't here other days, so...
Members of the public.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you need that opportunity.
You mean yes? Do you mean that?
Yeah.
Maybe
even
beginning?
Just right now, we could just
okay.
Or whatever. But just because there are people who weren't here other days.
Let's see.
He's asking if you're suggesting that at the beginning of each session.
No, I don't need to have it at every single piece of the agenda.
No, not each piece, but like this meeting was three sessions for
right.
One meeting. So at the beginning of each session, we might have a different audience out there. Do you think?
Yeah, then I think that we should.
To them comment
I guess
on
I think
the
we should. Okay. Just to allow people an honest chance when they're able to attend meetings.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. So it sounds like we got two suggestions that people were nodding around. One is we need to accommodate the fact that not everybody is going to come to every session of each meeting, and we should have an opportunity for public input. Public comment at the beginning of each session within, even if we have a three-session or a two-session meeting. And the other item was sort of described by Mike, which was that before finalizing agreement, however you reach the agreement, before finalizing it, you need you would like to stop and just give an opportunity for the members of the public who are here to speak to whatever you're about to decide.
So, for major items. So, for example, we've been spending a lot of time going over a bunch of different discussions about what should be in the charter. Before we finally say, okay, now we've been through this, we've looked at all these different points and stuff, I've been thinking before we, are we done? Is this our charter? There would be your chance. Let the public comment on the whole thing we've done. If they want to weigh in on something, that would be it. Otherwise, because they certainly can't comment on every choice.
I'd like to make a suggestion. We know that you're in compliance with this really sort of bare-bones thing we've done. We'll add an agenda item at the beginning of each session so that it'll take care of the issue that you raised. And then, I mean, you're going to be in charge, you're going to be in the meetings. If you see a decision coming up where you think, oh, wait a minute, this is a big one, we shouldn't actually conclude this without hearing from the rest of the people in the room, then you could say so. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that will be in the charter. There's a section in the charter for this information.
Great.
As to all communication, I think we should encourage also submitting any bigger comments electronically, either to you or through the website, and then being disseminated. I find it more effective for the people who want to speak and also for us, because then you can take home and read it and saves time and gives people also the opportunity to get everything on the table they want.
Yeah, I was thinking about that last night as things started to sort of fly through the ethers. So that would there is something in the charter about that sort of thing. But I mean, we can specify that we're getting now the feeling that people should be encouraged to provide in writing significant comments that they'd like the committee to know about, and. That'll go up on the website.
Yeah.
And that'll be posted on the website. So I'm not sure whether it would come to us or to somebody in the city who's kind of closer to the web to posting stuff on the website, but we can work that out. Any objections to that? Okay. One thing I wanted to say, for the benefit, especially of the members of the public who are here today, we've heard a lot from some of you about your ability to hear what's going on here. I'm sorry that it's very difficult for some of you. After the first night, we set up this sort of gallery for people hoping that they'll be better able to hear the sound that's coming from the group. That didn't satisfy everyone yesterday. We're stuck with the situation that we have at the moment for today, and I'm sorry that we ran around trying to find equipment and we're unable to find stuff that would actually fit in the system here. In future, we're going to try to get amplification of some sort, or at least some system that's going to make it easier for us all to hear. And for today, I'd like to ask those of you who are here to speak up. It'll make it easier for Dana to hear you as well. Who knows? He may actually be able to hear. I imagine that it's very difficult for him to. Any other comments or questions about the agenda? Great.
I'm guessing you're suggesting that we prioritize so that the time-sensitive items are done first. Is that right?
What I'm saying is that if you really want to spend time on these issues, we're going to have to be very brief with this, the charter. I have all sorts of ideas. You need to come up with a way of sort of handing off the charter, presumably to a subcommittee, with special direction.
Here's a suggestion. Why don't we handle the time-sensitive items on the agenda? Put the charter issue after that. If we get to it, fine. If we don't, we have a committee or something that can deal with it.
We don't yet have the committee. So the concern is that we don't want to wait until we're right at the end of the day and we're running out of time and then try to sort of pull together something. So our recommendation would be, I think yours is not a bad idea, if we turn out to have time for this, then we could spend as much time as we have. But we'd like to know that we can not worry about this if we don't have time for it. So I think it's vanishingly likely that you'll complete everything in the charter, even if you have a lot of time for it. So what I'd suggest is that whatever you hope you'll be able to achieve at the end of the day, you put in place something to kind of catch it in case you don't. What do you think?
Well, in that case, I would suggest that we talk about setting up a subcommittee now. I mean, that's your idea, right?
That is.
Either that or we save 20 minutes at the end to set up a subcommittee. But in either case, there are higher priority items on the agenda. I would rather not spend our time on the charter and not get to those items.
That's exactly what we felt. Are there any other questions about this? And then we'll just sort of take it from the top. Then let's take it from the top. So the first thing is the charter, which was what we were just discussing. We've sort of got it. The conversation has already started, essentially, on this. You need to complete the charter. It's going to be very hard to do it today. We assume that the one way out of this would be to appoint a subcommittee to work through it. I think that you've all got pretty good ideas about what you would want the subcommittee to do. What do you think? Any ideas? Any comments? Any thoughts about this? David?
Yeah, I think we ought to appoint a subcommittee of three to work over whatever we don't cover today and have it ready for presentation at our next meeting. Because we could spend all of our meeting on the charter and we wouldn't finish it today anyway. So,
okay. So what is it, any other thoughts about this? What other thoughts?
People can give input to the committee. If they people can get input to the committee, if you have something, a section that matters to you, and you want to give it the committee some written suggestion.
Well, and frankly, if we just get three who are committed to doing it, and we notify everybody of when their meeting is, as long as we don't have enough people to make it a Brown Act violation, people can come if they want to share the work.
It's a temporary committee. Yeah. So you need to decide if you want the Brown Act to apply at all.
Yes, I mean, those are the things you remember. It's like, is it a temporary committee? how many people are going to be on it, what's its charge going to be. There may be some other things you have to do as well.
But
duration, that was it. So far, David said, well, let's have a three-person committee. We know we're talking about the charter, so that's its charge, it's like complete the charter, about three people. Come back next month, so we know it's a one-month gig. What else do we need to know? Do you want it to be Brown Act or not Brown Act?
I don't want it to be Brown Act. I would actually make it 2 months because I wouldn't be surprised if we come back next month and then get instruction from this committee to do some more tweaks and it takes a month longer.
2 months makes sense. So yeah. any comments about 2 months? So we've got 2 months, three people, does that sound about right? We're assuming that there are going to be three people who step forward. The charge is to bring recommendations about the charter. So we got one. So yes.
No.
Oh no.
Some things are granted to three people as long as I'm not.
any takers for this? This would be the Mike Rockin, David Baskin. Yes, Erica Stanislavich. Okay, so we got three. Anybody else want to be on? You know, is anybody going to want to show up?
Step aside if somebody wants to.
Do we need to schedule anything now, or can we just assume that those three will schedule later on?
Actually, one of you is going to work with us, and you can coordinate the schedule.
Well, that was the next question. I mean, we can work with you. We need to work that out. So if we're going to do that, then we'll talk about it afterwards. And work that out together. Great. Well done. We charted our first subcommittee.
We did ask yesterday, were there any items you really wanted to talk about today?
Oh, yes, that's right.
Anybody? I'm just hearing now. That seems logical.
I think we got the most difficult ones already.
I did hear one thing. I wasn't here yesterday, but I did hear one thing earlier, which was we'd like to give the public a chance to comment today at every session. Is that... I mean, Eric made the suggestion. I didn't hear anybody objecting to it.
And we didn't do it. Thank you.
And we haven't done it. And no. I think if we're going to do that, we ought to do it.
Let's do that. Let's take let's take no more than 10 minutes and do that. So this is your opportunity, members of the public, especially if you haven't been at one of the other meetings, to comment on what's on the agenda. Would anybody like to comment? We've got three people. So... three people in 10 minutes of 3 minutes have been each. I will be timing. Stand up, man. So we can hear you.
Well, first, it's a basic question. Are there going to be minutes of this committee that are going to be put on the website so that the public knows what's going on?
Yes.
And are they going to be after each meeting? Or, because I don't see any minutes on these.
You're right. You know, one of the charter items is to really detail when the minutes are going to be produced, who's going to vet them, and all that kind of stuff. So we don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but we know we have to do it, we want to do it, and we're going to have a website where everything's going to go. So the answer is yes, but we're not quite sure.
To be determined
how we do it, but yes.
But it will go on a website somewhere where it's available to the public.
We'll go on the website where it's available.
Not everybody's going to be able to come here.
Absolutely. It will be available to the public on the website. Yes, sir. Well, the guy behind you is
there. I'm Jerry Paul. Of concern to me is that many of the alternatives being considered might involve water rights acquisition, which ultimately requires fisheries regulators to not stand in our way. If they do, if there's an issue, then it might be a 20-year process to apply for water rights. Whereas if they don't, if they preemptively go along with us, we might have as short as a 2-year acquisition of water rights, according to the water rights attorney in Soquel Creek Water District. So what I'm concerned about is how this committee might involve actual regulators, have them show up and deal, you know, say we'll trade you this for that, or we need to insist on this or that standard. It seems to me that if they're at the table in some capacity, early and regularly and with authority, then we can consider alternatives that involve water rights transfer. So I'd like that on the agenda somehow.
Okay.
Not necessarily today, that's up to you, but early on, it's critical. It changes the whole face of the discussion.
Two quick thoughts here. Number one, I would really encourage you to embrace public comment periods for both circumstances, non-agenda items at the opening of the meeting, and then chances for the public to address the committee and agenda items as you reach decision points, as Mr. Baskin pointed out, occurs at City Council and other commissions. I think that's really important, and I think it's important not to leave that conversation up to occurring in our relative various constituency groups, because part of what makes this valuable is that we get to hear each other. We get to listen to each other express our concerns and our ideas. And it's important that we get beyond just our somewhat isolated constituency groups on occasion. Secondly, I would just encourage you, when you do develop your work plan, to try and make the milestones shorter so that the short-term responses to water supply can be sent to the City Council as recommendations and implemented sooner rather than wait for a big report to come out in bigger milestone junctures.
Any other public comment? Then I pick up my telephone, incidentally, because presumably the reception was hopeless, so Dana hung up on us. But he won't be long, I'm sure. So we can now go on. And actually, you were talking about milestone. The next thing is the fact that your first milestone, is due on completion of the work plan and the charter and that sort of thing, which we don't expect to do today, but we had anticipated completing at the end of this meeting. What would you like to do with that? I mean, you know, would you like to send a report to the City Council saying, well, we haven't done it, but here's where we are, and blah, blah, blah? Or would you like to just wait until you're complete and you send it? Any ideas about that? Mike?
I would just send the City Council a very brief comment that the committee has begun its work, that we're all impressed with everybody's apparent willingness to try and cooperate and work well together, and we have not yet finished these other tasks. So it's an upbeat, optimistic assessment of where we're at, but very brief.
They're working very fast.
Wait, is this coming from us? Who's the author of this? Whose voice is this in?
Is it in Boston where we report to the City Council?
Good. I thought you were. I like that.
Very brief comment.
Welcome, Dana. Thank you. I noticed that you hung up on
this. Assuming that's the case, yeah, by the end of the day, that's what it would say, yeah.
Yeah. So any other comments about that?
Yeah. Define what you mean by problem statement.
The problem statement, well, you can define that in a number of ways. You could define it as the first article in your charter, which is, I forget what it's called, but it's not a whole problem statement, but it's similar. That could be your problem statement. Another kind of problem statement is a problem statement that's much more focused on the work that you anticipate, and that would probably be part of the development of your work plan. So your problem statement, so depending on what you decide problem statement means, you may be doing it as part of your charter, or you may be doing it as part of your work plan. In fact, we'll probably be doing, I expect we'll be doing it in both places. But we need you to address it because it's in the charter. We would recommend that you actually wait on the substantial problem statement until you have a better idea of the work plan and that you're feeling in the work plan. And if you want to do some sort of orienting problem statement at this stage, do it at a pretty sort of high level thing that's suitable for a charter rather than for a work plan. Does that make sense? So that's the problem statement, which was a little bit of what we're really talking about is the milestone. We didn't keep that. Is there anybody else who'd like to add to what Mike said on the question of the milestone? Yes, Sam.
I'd like to add that we've established two subcommittees, one to work on the charter and someone to set up the website so those things are progressing at a faster pace than a regularly defined pace.
And you asked Rosemary.
And we've asked Rosemary to be an ex officio. That's a good point, yeah. Too.
Other comments about this statement to the council? Then I think we got it. Making progress. We're getting along. We've got two subcommittees, which we'll specify, and then Rosemary's going to join us, or has joined us. Good. Then, do you want to take over?
Yep.
We're switching on and off.
Hi. All right, so you've had materials for a while about option A and option B, and I should have attached them to your email this morning, but you also have, yeah.
Just to go back to the milestones, so who's going to actually write that?
Yeah. Well, it's written. It's in our, the, write the problem statement?
Mm-hmm. The, my, no,
the report to our council.
Dave is going to. And he's going to read it to us. I just thought, like, don't do that to me.
I said to you that I would remember what Mike had said and send you an email after the meeting. But
after the meeting. We're going to have a break, and David's going to write a draft for the break, and then we'll go on.
Guys, want to make sure.
I'm totally with you. There wasn't the, it was like knitting without one of the needles there for a while. All right. The work plan. So we sent you some materials. And we made extra copies. You have them in the binder. You also have copies. Can you hear me, by the way?
Yeah, okay.
And there's two options. You could devise a third. Anybody, would you like me to describe what they are?
I would like you to describe what option B is. Help me make sense.
All right. Well, option B.
Doesn't help.
To say what? The flowchart
doesn't really
Option B is easiest for me to understand in relation to option A. So the traditional planning sequence is you start by educating yourself. You really should start with a problem statement. You educate yourself. You figure out what your alternatives are. You rate each alternative to compare it. Does alternative A, I skipped the criteria. You have to establish what the criteria are that you, by which you're going to judge your alternatives. Like it needs to be inexpensive, or it needs to be hot, or it needs to be timely. Then you generate your alternatives. You say, well, alternative A is timely, and it is hot, but it's expensive. You go through that process. Implicit in that is that some of the criteria matter to you more than others, right? You might care more about expense, and you might care more about temperature. And you work it and work it, and you finally come up with a preferred alternative. So that's a very linear, sequential approach that many of you have used a lot. So the argument is that when you have a complex problem, and the definition, there's two ways to think about a complex problem. One, that it's what gives it the complexity is the fact that everything has a feedback loop to everything else. So you find yourself going, which is the cart and which is the horse, a lot. When you do that, you know you have what some scientists call a wicked problem, or an ultra-complex problem. My guess is this is a complex problem. One of the hallmarks of a complex problem is that it's actually difficult to write the problem statement. So the planning paradigm for complex problems is to, there's actually three run-throughs. One is what we've done with the assessment, or in a way what you did with your last attempt to address water supply issues, which was like an exploration. The second is to do a run-through of the normal criteria, alternatives, ratings, weighings, preferred, in big parentheses. You do a run-through of that. It's called a recon. And you do it without fussing too much about the details. So it's kind of like a big brainstorming, because one of the underlying rules is you're not going to kill things off early. Then when you get to the end of the recon, you assess where your knowledge gaps are, and then you start again on another iteration. And it's only at that point that you can really very clearly write what your problem statement is. So you run through the whole procedure fast, you clarify, you're getting science along the way, but you clarify where your real knowledge gaps are. It's called a sensitivity analysis. And then you do it for real. It takes the same amount of time, in theory, it seems to, but it seems to be more appropriate to complex problems. So those are the differences.
If you're soliciting response to that, I'm in favor of option B. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm an engineer. I solve complex problems. I spent my career solving complex problems. And regardless of how linear I think the problem is at the beginning, it always turns out to be more like option B, because as you learn more, these feedback loops that affect the basic criteria you started with, they affect that basic criteria, and it results in a different solution. And it's insanely frustrating for me as an engineer, because I've often working against some budget, and I'm thinking, wow, 90% done, I've really got to go back to 30% in order to get this right, and it's expensive. But the end result is typically wonderful and suitable and the right solution for the real problem set that you end up with solving. The other thing I like about option B is it affords it almost inspires or triggers these insightful aha moments when you're dealing with multiple criteria at the same time, when you have the multiple feedback loops and stuff. It seems to encourage or facilitate these, what I call these aha insights that I don't know any other way to get them. If there was an easier way to get them, I would do it that way, but I found in my career that's just the only way. You just have to kind of go through this thing that I call design, which is appropriate for my industry, and at the end you end up with a design, and it's an option B process.
I'm not an engineer. That's one more reason for me to prefer option B. And the main issue for me is right now I don't even know which questions to ask, and go once around. Then I'll know a few more questions to ask. So that's really, for me, the main thing.
That's a very humble approach, sir.
Would you say option A is more like what is the traditional government process that got us here?
Boom!
Yeah. That's not too bad again, then, right?
I mean, if we're trying to do something that presents a different process and different opportunities than what got us here, then I don't really quite understand option B, but it might be worth it to try it, because we've already done what got us here.
Now you're a philosopher. What is this?
You just realized that?
At the risk of bandwagon and failing to approve the silence, I guess I'd go with option B as well. I draw the analogy to market research work that I've done when I've tried to start businesses or enter new markets. And it's always been this notion of successful approximations. You don't know what you don't know when you start. And you do get smarter as you go along. And then you're able to really make an informed decision about whether to proceed or not, and if so, how. Or it's analogous to hiking some terrain when you first have a chance to kind of overlook it and have a vague sense before you get down to the map.
Well, I'm humbled, because so far all four of you have said it better than I did. But, as you said, there's a trend. Speak now. There's nothing wrong with A. A may have gotten a couple people in pickles every once in a while, but it's gotten a lot accomplished. Do you have any reservations? You are also skeptical about this sense of the meaning idea. Seems like there's a sense of the meaning here.
Yeah, I like B too.
All right.
And we're in the situation where, as we proceed with B, if we decide we don't like it, we can always change.
Right. You are the bosses. Absolutely. All right. Good.
Thank you, sir. What's
next
on the agenda?
That's my red button.
Oh, well, why don't we get to the interesting stuff? I said you as a group, in terms of the interviews and the email that I asked for from you, have worked very hard on this question already, and I'm very appreciative. I would love to talk about some of the very insightful comments that are up here because I want to reinforce the dialogue back here, but I'm not going to fight against your schedule interests. So what I'm going to do instead is turn to the city, and I would like Rosemary to give the city perspective.
I think it's actually Tina's going to do
that. Oh, Tina, excellent. Hello,
yeah.
Tina.
Yeah.
I like that turquoise.
Thank you. I was wearing gray at first. I said, no. I'm just a little more casual. So this has to do with the selection of consultants. And as you know, this went to the city council. I know Rick was there. Was anyone else there at that meeting? This was April 8th. And so the council discussed it and did provide some direction. So I'm going to start just with reading that, and then I'll talk a little bit more about other things. So this was on general business. It was an afternoon item. There was a presentation from staff. Members of the public came. There was singing. There was a lot of comments at the end. And then we heard from, I think, all the council members spoke on this item. And here was their motion. Motion carried to refer this item to the Water Supply Advisory Committee. So an official referral of the matter to you, to discuss and provide feedback to council on the sourcing of technical and analytical work, paying full attention to the urgency for timeliness in moving the project forward, and bring back to council for decision on May 13th, 2014. So that's their direction. So there's a few components to it. You know, first they want you to discuss and provide feedback about sourcing of this work, but they also have that timeliness and urgency component. So the whole impetus of staff bringing this forward at the council meeting on April 8th was our sense that we have you for 12 months. It takes a long time to go through start to finish procurement processes. And we were concerned, legitimately, that if we started later, it would push your work back and it would delay the whole process. So we had concerns. Our city manager had significant concerns. Council member had concerns. So that was really our main thinking. And we happened to have this perfect opportunity where we were getting this multidisciplinary team of people to do this very similar work for us. And we had this aha moment where we thought, wait a minute, this work is so similar to the work we think the committee will be done. They have this team of people who can do everything from ecology to economics to modeling. I don't even know what. Rosemary knows all the words. I mean, it was really a great team. So we thought it would be a good fit. And then anyways, we brought to council, would you be willing to do this? And they want to hear from you on it. But there are a few things to bear in mind. One is that the council made it absolutely clear that they make the decision. So in terms of selecting consultants and managing their contracts, it is purely the city's purview. So we'll have to strike that balance with you, with your preferences and what we have to do legally and under a council mandate and the city manager's very clear direction to us about how we manage this. So that's one thing to think about. But council retains ultimate authority. But they still want to hear from you. They want to hear about your interests in this work. What else am I missing?
Well, I'm interested in more about, first of all, the cutoff. Why it is that the council has the final say?
Well, the council has the final say because they have the final say.
Well, do they have the final say for any contract?
They do anyway.
Ah.
It is a fiduciary duty. It's in their charter. They are the only ones who, you know, can approve these contracts.
Spend
the public's money, yeah. So, I mean, I'm sorry, that's so fundamental, I should say that. Yeah, I mean, we have the public's trust, the fiduciary duty that only they can do this. They can't, it's not delegable authority. We can't say, hey, Sue, here's $20,000, go do something with it. You know, there's always very strict purchasing rules. So we have laws, we have our charter, we have very strict procedures, and you can't really mess with that. And moreover, on top of that, the council, you know, confirmed that their insistence that they make this decision. So there is a legal underpinning and a legal reason why that works down the city. Again, we have to find that balance with you, though, because I understand your interests, and we'll hear a lot more about those interests, because I may not know them all, and we want to respect that and see how we mesh them together. But there are some hard limits on what we can do here. I'm trying to be brief, but thorough.
I think this is so important. So if you have questions, I would love it. Otherwise, I have questions. Yes.
No, I was just putting my hand down.
Well, considering our work plan B, would there be an option to go in two stages? We have one kind of technical support in the first phase, and then after we know which questions to ask or which more questions to ask, go to the second stage where we refine our outreach.
That's an excellent point. Thank you. I should have said that later. Yes, absolutely. So, again, my favorite word for this process is iterative. So, what we're talking about is really the baseline fundamental people, the team you would have all along. But if you decide, you know, we really need someone with this specialty to answer this particular question, we can work with you in identifying that person and bringing that person or team on board later. So it's not like this is an all or nothing, one shot, one contract. There is the opportunity, if you need more, to recommend the city hire more. And we want to be very open and amenable to that. You should know that. We want to be very helpful. We want you to have the resources you need. So we want to be very supportive to that end. But absolutely, as issues arise, you realize you need different technical abilities or different whatever. We can accommodate that.
Yes.
Well, at the risk of being the one that raises this issue, the public, those members of the public that have raised concerns about this are previously hired or previously identified group of consultants raised concerns that hit the form of, which is a totally reasonable form, not wanting to have consultants that have already made their mind up about an issue, not wanting to have consultants that are going to rule out certain things before, a priority before they hear what we're interested in. Third, I think, making sure that these are consultants that understand they're guided by this committee and the work that they're doing for us, not by their own lights about what's the best way to solve these kinds of problems. Some of the concerns that the public expressed from my point of view are not valid concerns, but I mean, those concerns broadly expressed are totally appropriate. They're right on. This committee has to have some confidence that these consultants will do what I just talked about.
So what is your question?
So, I mean, the question that I have is, does this committee, it's not to her, it's to us, does this committee want to look at what the hiring process was for this group, how they were selected, what their bona fides are? We have not been presented with what's this team? What are they up to? What have they done? Some of the public concerns have been, I'll just pick one to give an example, that some people on this team, some groups in this team have worked on desalination. Some of the public at least have leaped to the conclusion if they've worked on desal, they must love it and they're the promoters of it, and that's all they want to do. So I'm just trying to figure out how the community can get confidence or at least make a judgment of it, because if that's what we're being asked to make, we should make it. Whether this committee is in fact an open, that these technical people are open to our direction, not closing out options, not wedded to desal before we even start the process, that's, I think, what our issue would be. How can you give us that? I'm assuming that I'm speaking for others here, but what's the assurance we would have that that's the people we have?
I want to use that IAP to cite. So this is this idea over here is empowerment, which you pretty much only get if you're elected. It's not legal to delegate the empowerment. And over here is we'll give you a brochure, right? And her points along the spectrum. And one of the things that made Nicholas and I excited about this project is that the council got pretty darn close to empowerment in the way they wrote your charge. Right? Isn't that how you feel? But what's interesting about this spectrum is just because you have something at this point in terms of how you make your recommendation, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have that level of almost empowerment in terms of the other things. So if this is a fair way to recast your question, and if it's not, I know you'll let us know. Where is
the committee with respect to consultant management in the spectrum?
That's a question to me. Okay, so.
Well, it kind of answers or addresses my question. How do you characterize what our recommendation to council should be? Are we expected to review resumes and say, that's the person? Or are we supposed to characterize the qualities we're looking for in a consulting firm, and from that, the council and or city manager make a decision?
Well, I'll separate that into two different scenarios. The first scenario that I think we can talk more concretely about is what kind of the current contract we propose. So we'll kind of table the issue of future people, because I think for future needs, there'll be, I'm sure, a lot of discussion, a lot of description of what we're really looking for, the scope, what the team should have, et cetera. But I think for the purposes of this, I think there is some latitude there. And Rosemary, please interrupt me if I'm not getting it all right. So I think I'm relying a lot on the fact that Rosemary sent you all a letter about a month ago. Did everyone receive that by email? Where it kind of talks about this. This is before it went to council, 3 weeks before it went to city council. So this was like mid-March. And Rosemary said, hey, committee, we're thinking of this approach. Here's the team. Here's their background. Here's why we chose them. Here are links to everything. So I guess I'm assuming that there's a certain baseline level of knowledge about them, and I apologize if that's not accurate. We can get that to you like later today, so you can do that. So anyway, that was kind of my baseline assumption. Sorry, Mike, that you knew a little bit more about them. But I think where council said, discuss and provide feedback. So I think that feedback can take a few forms. I think you could opine on the composition of the team, for instance. Like to raise a point that Mike made and people made during the public comment, if you feel that there are certain members on that team that you feel wouldn't do the job well for whatever reason, I think that's legitimate feedback to provide. And I think that would be a great thing. For instance, I know that there's a lot of talk about JK or Kennedy Jenks, KJ. And the sense that they've worked on other desalination projects, and would that cloud their ability to be unbiased firm on this? You know, we have an opinion on that. You might have one as well. So that's good feedback we could take back to the city council for them to consider. And likewise, if you feel like, well, this team is really missing a critical component, you really need to have this particular type of fish biologist or something. You know, we can look into that. So I think that in terms of the composition of the team, that's an area you can talk about. Did I cover that well enough?
Yeah. Can I move to the next part of the question about the management? So how I'm imagining that this works is that, and I think I've articulated this in some conversations I've had with some of you about this, is that when you guys decide you want a question answered or a body of, you know, something investigated or whatever, you agree as a group that that's what you want, and then city staff manages the process of getting that for you. We don't give the consultant directions as, you know, shift the answer this way or shift the answer that way. We manage the technical process of, you know, making sure they have the right background information, reviewing their work for quality, then making sure that stuff isn't left out that's obviously in there, and sort of managing the work from a kind of a fiscal responsive, let's make sure this is done in the most cost-effective way possible because that's what our responsibility is. But that the reports go back to the committee from the consultant. We're not in the middle. We're not the media intermediaries of, you know, describing their work in whatever way we want to put a cast on it, to the extent that would even happen. But so that's the management aspect of it. I think the procurement part of it is also related to, it's a sort of a slightly different place on your scale. The procurement part of it is really very procedural. It requires a lot, you know, making sure that whatever we do complies with both state and local requirements. And someone asked a question over there about what can the city do, or what can the water department do without having to go to council. We have limited authority. I mean, 100,000 is not nothing, but sometimes, you know, this kind of work can be fairly expensive. And we can't just go say, you know, you all told us to pick so-and-so, we're picking so-and-so. There's procedural stuff we would have to do. And if the council, if that contract ever goes over $100,000, if it's $99,000, and then you wanted to add another piece of work, it has to go to the council to be authorized to go over $100,000. So there's some fairly, you know, strict boundaries, both on us and, by extension, on you, as it relates to the acquisition of consulting resources. the management of it, I think we have a lot more opportunity to move that, you know, towards a collaboration, et cetera. Yeah.
Further out here?
Yeah, but again, I think ours is a sort of housekeeping, you know, to keep the work coming because we need to deliver it up to you. But in terms of what you need, that's your call.
And then I'll fall into that on scope. So another area, you know, we talked about composition of the team, here's the management, some procurement. There's also scope of the work, too. I mean, I think there's a lot, that there's a huge opportunity there for input from this council. A fear that the council have and we have is this is not going to be a blank check. It's not going to be carte blanche. Go chase down every wild goose or every idea in the world. I mean, you're going to need some efficiency and group consensus around what to spend money on and recommend to spend money on. But we imagine you'd get there anyway. But it was a concern we talked about. You know, we don't have unlimited funds or unlimited time. So we really need to make sure that we're putting our money in the right places that will yield the information you need for decisions, not just following up every person's particular interest, because I'm sure you all have a lot of interest, and we just don't have the time and the resources for that. But the scope, again, is an area where we can take in feedback.
What I'd like to do is list some of the, if you're willing to stay here for a little, I want to list some of the possible options, and if there's practical things the committee should know, then you and Rosemary can tell.
Okay.
So, you know, one is let the city hire the team, but this is a mix and match. So what I'm hearing from you is that could be combined with hiring other people through that team or in an independent process as the committee figures out what they need. You have, using Nicholas and Carrie's contract as a way to reach people rather than going through Stratus.
Eek!
You have starting anew, which would be an option. If the council heard the committee say, we really don't want this team, and the council in its wisdom went with that, it's possible that one outcome would be that the committee and the city would be in the position of starting a new contracting process.
So can I just add one thing on that one? Because I think it's important to add. If that were to occur, and you know, I think you're right, tell the right sort of framing of how that might occur, I think it's really important for the committee to know that we cannot use a criteria. You cannot have ever worked on DCEL or never worked for the city. Those are discriminatory criteria for this kind of work. We cannot do that. And if we did it, because you all sort of said we must have that in there as a criteria, I think we risk having procedural problems with consulting contractors who will say, you've done an unfair thing. You've unfairly excluded us from, you know, having a legitimate opportunity to. So that would tie everything up.
I would also add to that just real quickly is that DSAL is still on the table for purposes of your work. You know, the charge was to look at all options, and actually council members specifically talked about that this is one of them, and thinking about regional concerns and so forth, creeping everything. So, I mean, it will be something we talk about here. It's not like it's everything else but DSAL.
With your permission, Baird, I'm going to go through the list.
Sure.
So, again, this is a mix and match, and part of that is that you could focus on managing whoever you get. And I think option B is a better, it's another strength of that. You can have a review panel for quality control for whomever you get. So that's what I mean by mix and match, whether you had Stratus or whether you had some other group. These are pieces that help you accomplish your interests. So far I'm not hearing, and there's a legal problem with that. And what else? Are there other strategies out there, committee members, that you want to add to this list for maximizing the satisfaction of all the parties? Yes,
well, one, somebody already alluded to this, that there could be a two-stage process.
So can I make a comment just sort of for consideration? It sort of seems to me, based on what I think, how I think the conversation is going to go in terms of the topics you're going to cover, that the degree to which you had your main consultant involved early is very useful because they help you with kind of perspective on things so that you get the benefit of that as you're doing this first sort of messy you know, let's take all the information in. I suppose you could make it work without that. But the continuity that you get in engaging and involving people in the recon phase and in the B option seems to me to be something valuable. Just a comment.
So we have, is this another tactic, or do we want to go into the general discussion?
It's kind of a clarifying question, at least for me. Tina, as you understand the charge from the council, are we to consider, you've used the term, the team, Stratus, and the, I think there were a handful of named potential or anticipated subs, or are we considering just Stratus, or do we have the freedom to slice that up in a way we want to?
I think, you know, we had put forward the recommendation for this amalgamated team, which is some Stratus principals and then other people that we thought would be complementary. So it's kind of like a new Supra Stratus team, but if you have recommendations as to the composition, like you think this particular person or this particular firm isn't going to meet the needs, I think that would be a reasonable recommendation. Do you suggest substitutions to answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we're done with strategies. Others may come up because maybe this is a wicked problem. And it sounds like what's on the board now is feasible.
Depending on the options.
Yeah.
That's what you're listening to.
Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Not that we might not call you back.
I'm here.
All right. So, how are we doing for time?
So we have a motion now.
So we're about to agree.
Yes, 3:00.
So, you talked about your interests, and you talked a lot more about the criteria you were looking for in a consultant. And I want to talk about those criteria. So you want somebody who's neutral. You want somebody who can offer you transparent science. So Sue brought up an example. If you have a consultant who has a black box, you yourselves are going to be able to be transparent to your constituents and the public. You want somebody who distinguishes between facts and values, and if it's a scientific team, I assume gives you the facts. Easy to contract with, serves the environment, provides good service, is experienced, has, many people said, integrity and courage. You want, if you're the powerful ones, you want somebody who's going to speak truth to power, right? And skill, attentive, reliable, and you also want a team with deep bench strength because you don't know what you're going to need right now. Is there anything missing here in terms of the criteria that you're looking for?
Effective and efficient.
Rick?
Well, Rosemary just mentioned that it's good to have our sort of main consultant on board right away, and I'd like to hear more about that, because I know that I started ticking off in my mind the consultants that the city already has under contract. You know, we've got a water rights attorney, we've got a fisheries biologist, we've got engineers galore in the water department. We've got, in terms of just, you know, one of the main water supply strategies that we're going to be considering, I assume, is the water transfers. We've got John Ricker, who we ought to spend days with, I would say. So I would see us at some point trying to identify, what are the gaps? Does the city have a hydrologist that we already have under contract? If not, that might be an area, because if we're going to look at North Coast groundwater, we want that, right? Do we want a generalist? Do we want somebody who is going to pull all this together? That's what I would like us to discuss.
Well, Rick, this sounds like another strategy would be to fill in with city expertise while you do your gap analysis. Correct.
Well, that's part of it. I guess for purposes of this discussion, we're talking about, we're making the assumption we need to choose a consultant, or the city
right.
Should choose a consultant.
I
just want to kind of back up. Well, what is that for? What is that person, that consultant for? Is it to be the generalist? Is it to fill in the gaps?
And I liked that too. That very much noted. You were going back to
make sure that we're working off the right question or the right assumption. So one of the assumptions is you need a consultant, the sooner the better. And I believe that your question is, hey, is that so true? Can we do pretty well by using city expertise while we figure out the gaps? Rosemary?
So I just want to go back to this this thing that's over here. This talks about the problem statement. So at the end of the beginning, the end, the middle, however it's going to be, I would see this committee needing to come to some kind of agreement about what's the problem. Otherwise, you got a lot of solutions in search of a problem. So the problem statement is really critical. And there are a lot of different aspects of the problem statement. There's the hydrology, there's the climate change, kind of those two things together. There's demand, there's supply, what do we know about our existing supply? There's conservation, there's talk more, loud. I think at the end of the day, your ability, even in the recon phase where you're trying to get your arms around all the different aspects of the problem statement, I would suspect, at least if it were me doing the work, and again, I'm not trying to push how I would do it, that you would want to have people that you could have sitting around the table with you until you could ask questions and get feedback and have them sort of raise up their hand while you're going down the path saying, that's really interesting, but have you thought about this? That kind of perspective that you get to enrich the process so that when you ultimately get to the problem statement, you really feel like you have your arms around what the real issues are that the solution needs to respond to. And that, for me, was kind of the aha moment I described in the letter I sent you, that we were, as I think most of you know, that there was a decision made about a year ago to look at the economic impact of no project. What happens if we don't have a project and we have a drought? Well, guess what? It's sort of like we're living it. But the point was... the point was really to get ourselves in a situation where we had to define the problem so that the economic analysis could then collect data and look at that. Well, the climate change, fisheries, demand, conservation, growth, all the issues that affect the problem were what we're going to have the Stratus team look at. And the Stratus team has the economics folks, it has natural resource folks, it had a variety of different expertise sets, and then we have, as Rick points out, I think on that list I gave you Sean Chartrand, who's the hydrologist, I gave you Jeff Hager, who's our fish biologist contract, I gave you Gary Fisk, he was part of the Stratus team, and then we had added, we need an engineer, and from our perspective, somebody who's knowledgeable of the system helps you get up to speed faster because they don't have to, try to figure out, well, where is the San Lorenzo River and how does it actually work with whatever? And, I'm not saying that's the critical thing, but from a practical standpoint, that's what was the driver. So the point, again, of all of this is that this is a wicked problem. It has a lot of really challenging nuances, a lot of uncertainty to it. Figuring out how to tackle those problems as you're doing either the recon or, that you're going to do and understand it is really, I think, what the goal was. We do obviously have a bunch of people that are on staff we have contracts with, but we don't have the contractor who has the skill set, particularly that Stratus brings, which is an integrating skill set. It's an economic framework. We don't have that on our staff. We don't have that ability to bring that forward. We would have to contract for that in any case. I guess that's what I'll say.
So what Rick's asking, that the city provide that feedback that you're talking about. So you're talking about the committee as they get through the recon phase and are able to develop their problem statement really need a lot of expertise. Don't you have a lot of expertise, I think, is the question.
Well, can I?
Yeah, you're asking your own question.
Well, it's not exactly, can the water department do that on its own? I am persuaded that we need kind of a general, because I'm from a building industry, call it a general contractor, right?
Yeah.
So I'm persuaded that that's a need of ours. I'm not persuaded that the timeliness is that urgent, that we can't go another 3 to 4 months without having that consultant in place, because there's so much already available on staff and with these contractors you mentioned. I didn't know the city had a hydrologist already on contract.
Well, you've been working on the fish issues.
Yeah. So there's an enormous amount of getting up to speed that we could do in 4 months.
So I guess what I'd like to just sort of, and I hate to put you on the spot, Mark, but you sort of offered yourself a little bit earlier. So because of the way you've done it, if you have your general contractor sitting at the table with you when you're doing design, does that help you ultimately?
Absolutely.
That's the point. It's that you have that person who's contributing stuff into the design process, in our case the recon process, who helps you understand whether that thing you wanted to do with the glass windows and whatever is a nightmare or not a nightmare.
Well, there's a little bit of difference because Mark is already a professional and some of us, at least myself, are not. So I can see this process in two stages. First one is using city resources to fill us in on the status quo, and I'm totally confident that you and your people and consultants on call can do that. And then we know which more questions to ask. And for that stage where we want to look into the solutions for the future, I personally would prefer somebody who has not a working relationship with city staff. Because my experience is there is an inherent bias in there. That's because of personal connections. You know, you can't avoid that. This is what I've experienced my work in transportation, which is another tricky issue. Yeah. So that's why I would separate those two stages. You know.
Dana wants to say.
Yeah, I don't really know what I want to say. I'm struggling with this discussion a little bit. It seems like we're trying to strike a balance between getting the best people that we can, having some familiarity with the city and how it works, and also maintaining that separation so that these people are not thought to be, like, I don't know how to say it, in bed with the city or anything. The whole reason we're here is because people were concerned with the process that the city and the consultants that they used in the past used, right? They weren't happy with the outcome. That's why we're here. So I'm not sure that we can make the argument that we should use the same consultants that we used in the past. You know, I mean, I'm struggling.
And Charlie was next, but let me just grab that. It seems like your struggle is partly, I'm not sure as a scientist or an engineer, but I'm also not sure in terms of trying to explain that to the public. Is it both parts?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously want some familiarity with things that have been done here in the past. But we also want to appear to be unbiased, you know, and have consultants that, I mean, presumably they're just going to work on what we tell them to work on. They're not going to be taking ideas out of the blue and advocating for some solution, right? I mean, we're going to give them something to work on, to decide on, and then they can give their opinion based on that, right? I mean, they're not driving this process.
You're driving it.
Yeah.
Sort of. Pretty far over. Okay, so Charlie was next, and Mike is going to say what he says one time, and Dave, and then David. I think, oh no, I forgot, and Doug. Oh, I can't keep track of that.
Unless I missed it, I'd like to have the discussion framed in the context of a timeline. Like, if we are saying now we can wait 4 months before we decide on a consultant that's going to be our general contractor. Once that decision is, or recommendation is made, how long does it take to get the wheel rolling? Are we another 2 months behind before we have somebody on board? Or do we have to start the process now so that in 4 months when we need that expertise, we're hitting the ground running?
Yeah, so I guess what I would say is sort of it's the latter, and the reason is the, I, you know, you can tighten this up a little, but the way I see it is, first you have to write up either a request for qualifications or a request for proposals. The qualifications part's easier because I'm not sure we have a specific scope of work that we would want to ask somebody to reply to. So it's, what qualifications are we looking for? This is how the Stratus was chosen. Then you put that out, and people have to have a chance to respond, so that's typically at least 3 weeks. Then you get it in, and then it has to be scored, and if interviews have to happen, that's another 3 weeks. Then you choose the consultant, and then you start the scope of work negotiations to actually create the contract, and assuming the contract is going to be over $100,000, which I think is a reasonably likely assumption, especially for the general contractor, has to go to council. So that's a 3 or 4 month process. And if you were to wait until you kind of knew what everything looked like at the end of recon to start that process, because now you knew what expertise you needed, then it's...
We're 3/4 of the way through our year.
Yeah.
Okay. So there were lots of units, right?
So I do think there's an underlying presumption that these consultants were the ones that drove the DSAL decision. And I don't think that's accurate. I think, because I was part of that process, that was a public process. That was a process that included certainly council members and water commissioners. And there were like 20 projects we started with, and they went through an elaborate analysis. Things were very different kinds of conditions, different assumptions, different people sitting on the committees that were directing these consultants. In the end, that process, eventually the city council, in public processes and so forth, picked this group of consultants and said, you know, I mean, we're to do this with these consultants, and said, we want to go to a DSAL solution. That was, you know, the choice. But it's not that these consultants drove that, or that they started off going DSAL's the only way to go, or that they ignored the people that were directing them, or that they've got some personal financial commitment into DSAL that's different than the commitment they've got for the 5 other kinds of projects they've worked on in the past, because they're not DSAL consultants, they're broad consultants. So I think that's what's driving the concern about them, that they did work on DSAL, but the idea that they're wedded to it, I think, is a mistake. And so that's why I think people have reasonably want some confidence that that's the case. I'm saying that, but that may not be believable to people. So if you don't get clear of that, we'll have a problem with this consultant, because people will think they're wedded to that choice. I don't think they are, but others, I'm not the one that needs to be persuaded of that. Others here do.
Well, you haven't spoken yet, so we'll leave
it. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's kind of just a question kind of following up on what Daniel was talking about. And just an example that we're currently working on the Water Commission is the DSS model for the Master Conservation Plan. And, you know, is that the type of study that we want redone by a new consultant? I mean, I think that's the type of decision that this committee needs to make. And are there other studies that have been done over the last 10 years that, you know, with new assumptions, just for the sake of, you know, seeing what it would be, you know, is that, I mean, you know, taking into consideration that it does take resources and time and money to go back and do that, you know, that I think that's kind of what you're touching on. Maybe I'm a little off, but, you know, that seems like what we're trying to get at, and whether or not this new consultant can do that in a way that is acceptable to the committee.
Okay, so part of the committee's job is, and this is a very empowering thing, is to look at what was done before and analyze what needs to be rethought.
If we do decide that that's what we want.
And if that's the case, then do you have the bench strength for whatever the qualifications are? It could be degrees or it could be reputation. Will you have the bench strength to have those reports redone if it's needed? And part of that is public confidence. Oh, I have Big Keys next, and then Rick, and then you, and then you.
Well, actually, I was on that list somewhere.
Oh, I talked to you. But Doug for now. Doug.
Well, yeah. So, seems like there's always time to do things twice and never time to do things right. Right? And so we're doing this twice, at least. And so I'm trying to take that to heart in my thinking here. And I go back to the question I asked Tina. We don't know what we don't know, right?
Right.
We have a bevy of known unknowns going into this. And what gives me heartache is committing to a full menu, if you will, a constellation of consultants whose expertise we may or may not need before we've actually gotten into the process. So where I've kind of gotten nice and comfortable earlier today and then listening to the conversation so far is to acknowledge the value of a general contractor, if you will, to continue with the metaphor, get somebody on board who can help us and provide some continuity in a temporally and budgetarily constrained box. Okay, the first, they're going to help us with the recon, all right? And during that time, we're going to, and I'm assuming it's going to be Stratus because they're available, and we'll evaluate them in that, during that time period to see if they are viable for us for as a long-term solution. At the same time, we'll be able to understand the resources we have available to us from existing work that's been done from the city, from the county, from other local experts, and our own perception of where the gaps lie, and then we'll be able to identify, okay, these are the, I don't know, half a dozen areas we need help that we can't do and that our local experts can't do, and then we can find out maybe some of the folks from the cadre of consultants who worked with the city before are good choices, maybe they're not. We have the work staged in such a way that we have an opportunity to make a considered decision about folks we're going to bring on board in a timely way. Doesn't slow down our work necessarily, and we get to assert our management of the general contractor, create that relationship, and get the governance set up.
One of the things that your tactic or strategy, which I will add on here, accomplishes is it gets around the problem that once you're sucked into the Stratus contract, you're stuck with it.
Right.
It gives a checkpoint.
Yeah,
David.
The elephant in the room, for my money, is the notion that because people have worked for the city in the past, it means that they're somehow biased as to the outcome. We sit here as a group of people who were all asked to and all committed to setting our biases aside and engaging in this process in a way that was not outcome predetermined, both individually and as a group. And this team of experts who wants to provide us services has obviously been told that that's the scope of the engagement, and that they have to be ready to provide services knowing that the outcome is not predetermined. So for purposes of consistency, why are the standards we're holding ourselves to and that we've agreed to any different than the standards we should be applying to the selection of the experts? We have an opportunity to have a team that the Stratus part of the group has not worked for the city before, and the people from Fisk and Kennedy Jenks have. So we have a combination of fresh eyes and people who are familiar with our system. And it's going to be our job, frankly, to examine these people, to examine the knowledge base that they bring to us, to learn and to ask them the questions. And we want to have people out in the room who both can tell us what we've got and how we got here and provide us the fact and science for that, and also have fresh eyes that are open to the things that haven't yet been considered or the things that should be considered, because when a lot of the work was done for the integrated water plan, it was 2003, and we're now 11 years later. We have, you know, different information that should be considered. We're supposed to do an iterative review, which means we're actually supposed to look at what's been done and see if it still makes sense. So we're going to need some people who have some experience with the city stuff to do that.
Thanks, David.
You're welcome.
I just want to speak to what my concerns are about the Stratus contract, because I have people already anticipating what those concerns are and responding to them, and I haven't a chance to articulate them yet.
I'll do it for you.
Stratus is known as an expert on desalination. The fellow Robert Reich is a co-founder of Stratus. He wrote a book called Guidelines for Implementing Seawater and Brackish Water Desalination Facilities. And he partnered with Brent Haddad at the University of California, Santa Cruz on a project called Developing a Tool to guide state and local desalination planning. Our goal was to help California water agencies and the people they serve make good decisions about the role of desalination in their water supply. And that included like an economic analysis, but also a water supply analysis that would determine, well, I'll just read you kind of step one in their framework, which was defining the baseline. It's important to compare scenarios of project to no project to determine what happens to water supplies in the future with and without desalination. So that's their number one step in this project, which is, you know, a tool to guide water planning. The problem with that to me, and this is what like the red flag for me, is I have no problem with helping a water agency figure out when they've come to an impasse and they have a real water supply problem. That's great. But to tell them to kind of skip that step and then make the presumption that now's when you need desal. And that's how I read this project that Rauscher co-funded, actually, with Brent Haddad. So, you know, we all took that, you know, pledge that we're going to be open-minded here, and I expect that of a consultant, too. And I just don't want to have an argument with our consultant all along the way about things like carbon offsets. You know, because one of the things that Rauscher says in his book is that, you know, this Carlsbad desalination facility is proposed to reduce net greenhouse gas emissions through a series of offset projects as well as renewable energy credit purchases. You know, Business Week did a cover story on renewable energy credit purchases. The title of that, it was a cover story. The title was Little Green Lies, you know. It's like if you spend some money and, you know, you kind of shuffle paperwork, you know, then their carbon emissions are offset. In fact, you know, if you really want to reduce carbon emissions, there are some very strict criteria, you know, about what measures actually reduce carbon emissions. And you know, our own desal project didn't end up following that. I just don't want to have an argument with Rauscher about that. I want somebody who understands, you know, the values of this community around. Well, we have a criteria, and I expect we will. It's already, I think, written in that our water supply recommendations meet a criteria for environmental sustainability. I don't want to have an argument about, you know, oh, well, renewable energy credits means it's carbon neutral, therefore it's sustainable. You know? So I think where that leaves our committee is that, you know, we give direction to the council that says, you know, we don't want to lose time here. You know, we don't want this to set us back. We want to be done in a year. Lord knows I was ready to start in January, but I'm sure a lot of you were too. But we don't want to start behind the eight ball with a consultant that really doesn't kind of get us as a community. And so what can we do? You know, can we I mean, we got these options here. We get, as much as Kerry and Nicholas don't like it, they could be our general contractor in the interim. You know, we can spend up to $100,000 in the interim. And you know, we can all interview consultants and decide who we're going to spend that $100,000 on and then go to the council and go back to get the rest of it authorized. I think it's kind of one of those things where the solutions are there. If there's a will, there is a way.
So, concerns about a person who is proposing carbon offsets and concerns about a person who appears too ready to look at desal in a system that was designed, and concerns that were the committee or hopes that the committee would look more fully at different creative ways to deal with the timing issue without necessarily going through this contract.
That's accurate.
Okay. I could talk a long time about consultant selection. I've been, as part of my work, I've been the, quote, prime design professional responsible for selecting teams and coordinating teams and accomplishing work. I don't want to do that. You probably go right over your heads because you don't do it in the context. But there's a couple things that have been discussed today, and I want to speak a little bit to what Rosemary said earlier and tell that same story in a slightly different way. And speak a little bit to what Rick brought up about the generalist idea. So the city, while they have experience because they've been dealing with the water system for quite some time, and please don't take this the wrong way, Rosemary. The water department staff are generalists. They do not have expertise in design of desalination plants, water transfer systems. I mean, I don't even know the universe of things that are available to us as a committee to explore as an option. I think looking to the water department for the expertise to advise us as to the feasibility, costs, technical issues, carbon offset, or carbon in the greenhouse gas emissions would be a mistake. I don't think the city has the expertise that we need. So I'd like to, and I hope that kind of answers your question, Rick, about do we have the local expertise? That, you know, I would say no, we don't have the local expertise. The water department doesn't have it. Even if they did have it, my sense, and maybe you correct me if I'm wrong on this, Rosemary, I don't think the water department has the time to spend. I'm guessing that they are tied up with, you know, drought management, and I think you asked for, staff augmentation during this coming year. They don't have enough resources now to execute the charge they've been given to run the city water department. So asking them to do more, I think, would be a mistake on our part. And we're asking them to do things they really can't do. So let's talk about consultants. I've hired a lot of consultants. I've worked with a lot of consultants in my life. My experience with that is that consultants do what you ask them to do. And while, you know, I have, you know, won awards and things like that, if you want me to design a new gizmo, you know, I'll figure that out. I mean, the fact that I've, you know, designed an award-winning beach house has nothing to do with my ability and bias with regard to skid-mounted, restroom buildings. I mean, the problem that I'm presented with is the problem I will solve. So if we ask, Stratus, the Stratus team, to say, we would like to explore the cost and feasibility of improving the inlet structures of the San Lorenzo River so that we can take twice as much water out of the San Lorenzo River during peak flows and move that water into the Soquel Creek water basin and inject it in the ground. We'd like to know how long would that take and how much would it cost. That's a question that we can ask the Stratus Consulting Group or some other consulting group. We'll ask them that question and they will give us their opinion. And then based on their expertise, you know, we can say, oh, that's a valid opinion. We accept that. Or we can say, wow, you know, that's a little flimsy. I'm not sure I believe you. We'd like to get a second opinion. And that's when we would go back to Rosemary or, you know, whoever is going to manage this process from the legal point of view and say, we need some more expertise. We need another opinion. We need whatever. We're not comfortable accepting this finding or that finding or whatever. Or we can even ask the consultant, you know, can you explain some, you know, provide us more information. And typically that's what they do. I mean, they're experts. And I like to have experts around when I'm working on problems. I find that it equips me to think about the problem in front of me in ways that I don't think about the problem. And that's helpful to me in deriving and generating solution sets. And it's especially useful kind of getting back to your idea, Doug, that it'd be nice to have somebody on board early that can help us frame this. I mean, I think that was kind of your point. It's like, you know, I want to get the information in front of me so I can think about the problem in a meaningful way, so I can make a problem statement that I can, you know, that makes sense, that it has a content and it has legs and they can consult us and advise us about that. So that's kind of my idea about the consultants. The other thing about the vested interest idea, and this is a direct question, Are any of the members of the Stratus team currently under contract with the city to provide any services whatsoever?
No.
Okay, so is there any pending work for the Stratus team or any other than this current contract?
We originally selected them as it related to the economic analysis of no project, but that work has not
commenced.
We have no contract with them, and that work has not commenced.
Okay. So go ahead.
No.
I would say that unless the Stratus team were the builders of desalination plants, and that was their specialty. In other words, you know, if I'm trying to figure out what kind of car I should buy, I don't want to go talk to the Honda dealer about what kind of car I should have, because I guarantee you, the Honda dealer is going to tell me, you know what you need? You need a Honda. And really, the truth is, I might need a Chevrolet. I mean, you know, that's not the person I would go to for consulting. So unless Stratus is in the business of constructing desal plants and selling desal plants, and, you know, to me, that they've worked on desal plants, that they have some expertise around desal plants, that they've written a book about how to, if you've got water problems, here's a way of analyzing the water problems and determining your needs, that's a bonus to me. It's like, you know, they've addressed some of the fundamental issues that we have to address. We have to tackle this problem, like, what's our water supply? What do we need? Those are, like, really fundamental things, and if they have an expertise in that regard, I think that's a wonderful thing. So
that's my sense. So I think that it's really important to kind of put a couple of things in context here. I mentioned to you all in the letter I wrote you that I have known Bob Rauscher for more than 20 years, personally. Obviously, from work I have done on the American Water Works Association Water Utility Council, and from when I, in the early 90s, early mid-90s, I was on the Water Research Foundation Board of Directors, Board Trustees. The Water Research Foundation, I believe, is the project that what you mentioned was a project done for the Water Research Foundation. The Water Research Foundation is a subscriber-based, mainly utility-funded research arm of water suppliers. Yesterday, and maybe Heidi could just stand up and comment on this, I've been a user of their research in all kinds of ways for decades. Triple bottom line analysis, microbial disinfection byproducts regulations. Bob Rauscher, I know, worked for American Water Works Association, which is the sort of big water industry association, on a project in the 90s called Buried No Longer. It's about aging infrastructure and a number of other issues associated with that. The Dawn of the Replacement Era is another document. He and his firm and a former colleague of his named John Cromwell, whom I also know, were very involved in the economic analysis of many issues that water utilities have been facing. He wrote a project, a manual, a guidebook for this particular project. But I think if you go and look on his resume of his publications, you'll see hundreds of other projects on different subjects that he's written that are related to water industry policy and economic issues. Whether there are issues that Rick has that are legitimate about the greenhouse gas and the trade-off, I don't feel like I'm not commenting on that, good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just saying I would not describe him as a desal expert in the sense of building, constructing. He has a very broad background in this topic area. That's just my comment.
We got a couple more people, and I love to hear from people who haven't weighed in yet, and then I'd like to pull it together maybe a little bit and see how we can move forward. Sid, I think you were next.
A couple of comments. As a general contractor, I will tell you, and I can't stress the importance of having your general contractor on board early enough, or inevitably what happens is you're trying to manage something that you don't know how to manage, and you're piecemealing a project together. And before you know it, you get something halfway through the process before you realize just how screwed up you are. And then you're falling back, and you've lost a month, 2 months, 3 months. So whoever that person may be, I think we need that person on board now, and I think it needs to be someone who has the expertise to work with us. No offense, I don't think you're used to managing
and you
multiple
know
water consultants,
want
but. But you know, I've seen that happen more often than not, and I, like Mark, have hired consultants, and it's never an issue to get a second opinion if you don't understand or like what they're saying or agree with what they're saying, and have someone take a second opinion. That, with you know, regards, I guess directly to the Stratus Group, you know, I build a lot of medical clinics. I've had articles published on how we build medical clinics, but I don't come to your house and tell you I should build you a medical clinic. You know. We build what we're asked to build, and we look at what we're asked to get. I guess those are my comments.
Thanks, Sue.
I can understand the arguments in favor of the Stratus contract. I just want to make sure that whatever we decide, we realize that if we go ahead with them, that we are risking a bruised image with the public. And I think it's important that we come up with a way to protect this committee from starting basically day one with a black eye.
Yeah.
And there's a public, that kind of public perception, there's a lot of facts and experience behind that. And for example, when someone associated with the Water Commission says, we depend on the city to hire the best, so why should we question what they say? Well, that's why this committee exists.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think questioning, the most robust form of questioning and local expertise should be used. The city, the university, the county have some reluctance to hire local expertise. There are brilliant people who went through great programs in UCSC or wherever and settled here and have done work for years. And I'm married to one of them. And he's been a consultant for 40 years. And the stories that local consultants can tell you about big faux pas that government agencies made, building buildings at the campus over sinkholes, more than once, because they hired a San Francisco specialist, right? And that sort of thing. Millions of dollars down the drain. We are not in a position to send millions of dollars down the drain.
So you like local people. And your earlier point was, if you do go ahead with the Stratus contract, realize that not everybody was in this room hearing this conversation or persuaded by it, even if they are. So the first important move of this committee may not enhance its reputation with everybody. And if that's the case, are there ways to mitigate? Was there anybody else? Yeah, Peter.
Yeah, I've, after listening to all this and reading about comments before, I would propose we have to go one step back and not talk about Stratus, yes or no, but look at a few more consultant teams that are an option. Suppose there is expertise in the country that can help us in that process. There's not only one company. That would also increase our legitimacy and speak for integrity of the process.
Okay. You've spoken before. Is there anybody? Sarah, you haven't yet.
I know, I tried. A lot of my questions and concerns were answered earlier, but I'm, you know, with Sue talking, I'm kind of leaning a little bit more towards, I would love to have somebody in place to help us through as kind of a general idea. But I think there's a lot of knowledge that we need to get caught up on. And so we do have a little bit of time in here. And if we go with, you know, the request for qualifications now, what would we get people on board by July? Is this the thought process? And timing-wise, that would be guiding the rest of the process, basically. But back from that, if we do decide to go with Stratus or with the contract that is proposed now, I'm in agreement with Doug that we put that in place, that there's a check and balance throughout this system. Because my biggest concern is that we have this group and that we aren't, you know, my biggest concern was that we weren't able to address all the questions that we wanted and we were stuck with this group. But it sounds like there is the option to look for and rely on other consultants. And if we decide that Stratus is not for us, then that's, sounds like that's a possibility as well. So
I think,
isn't that helpful?
What I would like to do in a sec, and we didn't hear from the last two of you, not the last, but I'd like to write down the mitigators, like the clause, you call it an escape clause at one point, and the things that would give you either a more sense of control now or a sense that you can change tracks if you need to as you learn. I'd like to list those. There have been several, and there's something right in my head. And I know the Nicholas has been taking great notes, but let's just make a brief list of that. But let's also hear from our esteemed former mayor.
I guess the... I already spoke to this issue. You know, just obviously... I already spoke to this issue that there's this concern. I'm not surprised to hear it. As I said, it's a very reasonable concern. The concern that I have, aside from the issue of how long it's going to take us, which is real, and that whether that will put us behind, because I do think we need some help from outside pretty early on. My concern is that we end up weighing, leave that aside for a moment, Rick's point that this group seems like they may have had their mind made up, or they may be, you know, overly focused in one direction. I see that argument. I'm concerned that we not trade that off for let's not have any group that's ever done anything related to D-cell, and you end up with nobody that has real expertise, because that all the people that do it, I don't know the answer to this. I'm not saying that this is the answer. I'm just saying that's the question. That we'll end up with people who are not highly professional, don't have a lot of experience working with other communities, give us opinions that are based on, believe me, as a council member, I know a million opinions locally about what we might do instantly to fix the problem, and we haven't done it makes us all idiots that we haven't already done what this thing, whatever it is. And I'm talking about not just average citizens, but people that bring you their credentials, that they know that they have the right answer. So that's the balancing concern. You know, that we, so if I thought there were a group we could hire quickly, Rick was happy. I'll just pick them. You know, we've worked together on a bunch of stuff before, as well as against each other. But we'll understand. I don't want to like foreclose the possibility of consultants that can do what we need them to do on the basis that these people may have some tainting. So I really think it's important when Rosemary made the comment that maybe the book that you found or something is out of proportion to what this person's overall interest in the world is or something, that's worth looking into. You need to get some comments. Again, I'm not the one that needs to be persuaded. You need to be able to figure out whether that's the case or not on some level, rather than foreclose it because they've got that connection.
All right, Dana. Yeah, and then Rick.
Well, I don't really have anything new to add so much as that... Well, I guess, you know, when I first saw the list of consultants that the city had proposed, I was like, wow, the city's really got its act together. Because I am in the business, and those names are very highly respected in the water industry. And I thought it was great. After listening to these concerns, I'm recognizing that we do have a problem, right? Sue speaks to, you know? And so... I think I should disclose that I have had personal experience working with both Gary Fisk and David Mitchell. And those two fellows are also very highly respected in doing water conservation analyses. They pretty much wrote the book with water conservation measures as are used by the California Urban Water Conservation Council.
You're talking about Bill Madouse.
Oh, Madouse. Madouse did that. Okay.
Yeah. But David Mitchell is one of the other guys who's on that.
Oh, they're A&N. Madouse is the...
Madouse is on that list. It's in the letter as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they're the best in the business, and I was heartened to see them on there. So that being said, you know, how do we get over this hurdle that Sue speaks to? Because I think it is a real problem.
So you said something specifically to Rick, so it's only fair to let him address those Is that where we're going? And then I wanted to try capturing some of this stuff.
Yeah. I just want to let you know that I wouldn't be opposed to anybody who's ever worked on a desalination facility. I just think the way that something that I didn't already mention, which was this consultant Stratus, the way they got invited into the cities take a contract first, doing an economic study, a project alternative. The way I view that, and I think the way a lot of people in the city view it, is that Bill Coker knew he had a public relations problem on his hands, and that he needed to develop support for the idea of desalination by studying what would happen if we did nothing. So in analyzing, in the various stages of drought, that would happen if we did nothing, what kind of economic hit our city would take. And so I see it at the Stratus original scope of work as part of a public relations effort. And I don't believe that anybody in the city wanted to do nothing. Nobody I've ever talked to wants to do nothing. So it didn't strike me as a piece of work that the city really needed to do.
So we have a couple things. I think Rosemary might be able to address that, and I have a feeling that David wants to. Would you be willing to pass to Rosemary?
I can, but
on the Stratus election team, so maybe.
Just to correct one misperception that you have, and David will know this because he was there for part of it at the commission. The idea of doing the economic study actually came from the commission and mostly from me, because we were looking at the various components that needed to be dealt with in evaluating the desal project as to whether or not we should do it. We were looking at what the EIR does and doesn't do, and one of the things that we were told by our consultants was that the EIR did not evaluate the economic impacts, and it was apparent from the comments that were coming in that a lot of people had concerns about the economic impacts. So from the commission, we came up with the idea that there actually ought to be an economic study about it. And Andy and I had great debates about this. Andy Schifrin and I had great debates about this. And it eventually became something that the commission supported and asked staff to investigate.
Thank you.
So can I just add one thing? I want to clarify, qualification-based election is not based on a scope of work that you put out. Typically, when you're doing it that way, you don't have your scope fully defined. We have a concept. We need to look at what it would cost us to do, have no project, or what the impacts on our community. That might be all there is. And so you would say, we're looking for modeling and economics or whatever if you're doing hydrology, you would have something very general. So what typically happens in a qualifications-based selection is you kind of know what skill set you're looking for. You say, I'll come, and then you evaluate based on criteria. And then when you get somebody you think you can work with, you negotiate a scope, and you work with them collaboratively to build the scope, to scope it out so that you have the right scope to actually get the project done as you come to agree about it once you've got their expertise in the room.
I'm smirking a little because I have to say, of all the clients I've ever had, I think that the city is amazing at squeezing every last drop in the most wonderful and collaborative way. They get a lot out of the contracting process even before they pick their preferred. So, Erica.
Yeah, I just want to say, I feel as a committee, we're really in this rough spot because I feel like there's not really strong viable alternatives when we really do have this time frame, but I want other names. That's what I want. I just want other names.
Yeah. Here's the biggest thing that I'm seeing. You will be a policy body. You'll make recommendations to the council, but it's up to you to set policies like how you're going to handle greenhouse emissions. And if you manage your consultants properly, then they're going to come in with their service to you in the context that you give. They're not going to bring their assumptions. So part of your insecurity must be that you don't really know how much the city is going to let you manage them. You see what I mean? And what that might look like. Is that fair? And I, you know, it's a trust thing because you've said a couple good words, but you haven't gotten on your knees and bowed, right? And I don't think I see your hand. And
yeah, yeah. I don't know if there's been a couple. I'm reflecting stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm going to not interrupt this unless the committee asks me to. So what I said I would do, or actually Nicholas should, because he has much better handwriting once your hands are tired. No, you're good. And there's, I confess to a bias here because I'm asking you, how can you mitigate the option? We got to start with somewhere, and I'm sort of seeing an interest in that. But I'm not biased. I don't have an idea about what your right answer should be. So if this doesn't clear some of the fog, then we'll go to what are the other alternatives, okay?
I got five.
Five mitigators.
Number one, as I talked about before, the call it phase one or recon budget and timeline, and I posit, you know, it's the recon period of 50 grand. I think that should be plenty. We'd select only the general contractor for now.
Did you say 50 or 150?
I said 50, 50.
Okay.
We'd select only the general contractor for now to support our initial recon period. During that time, oh, you know, wait.
Maybe we should both do it for you.
May I add one thing about contractors? I apologize for this, and Rick and I had this conversation. If you want us to do modeling of our system, we must have Gary Fisk. I'm sorry. There is, he has the model of our system. We cannot recreate it. We must have him.
We'll find that out within 2 days of starting our work, and then on we go. Let me finish my file.
Yeah. You don't get to do it.
Sorry.
So number three is one of our goals in this first phase is that we're going to assert and understand the committee's control over the management and scope of the contractors, dealing with the trust issue you talked about. We will control and identify our subcontractor selection based on the needs the committee identifies as we go. And maybe we'll have a critical need day two, according to what Rosemary said. And square bracket option, maybe we assign a committee member for oversight to work directly with the contractors, a committee of one, if you will, for any of these specific projects, at least until we get comfortable with them, kind of a training wheels kind of deal. So those are my five.
Okay. Yes?
I don't know a mechanical way to do this, but there needs to be an ethos in the group that when, if you're asking the consultant a question and you're only one member, the group is asking the question, and you feel the answer is deliberately obfuscating the information, slanting it, pushing a little too hard in one direction. I don't know how to characterize the best way to say it. That this is an appropriate thing. It's not rude to bring it up to the group to talk about, to ask for a pause. I don't want to talk about the substance of what we were just talking about. I want to talk about the process. Our consultant is dragging his or her feet. The consultant is not answering the questions the way we want them answered. They're not doing the job the way we want to see it. Because you do find yourself in these situations where city staff at times or with consultants, you're not getting what you want and you don't know what to do about it exactly. You go round up four votes if you're a council member to deal with that problem. You shouldn't have to do that. People here need to be empowered to do that in some way so that it's not, you're not feeling
put it
like
in the
there's
chart.
No response here.
It's not bad to say, hey, wait a second. Do you have a mitigator?
Second opinion, some kind of technical
the quality.
Review.
Yeah. Dana?
No,
Erica?
Just again, the option to go to someone else.
Yes.
Yes. I didn't catch that. What did you say?
The option, it was a repeat.
Okay, thank you.
Sid? Looks good?
Yeah, I don't know if this would work, but by our next meeting, let's see, right away the water department put out requests for qualifications by our next meeting that we look at who's responding.
Okay, wait a second. So what you're trying to get at is if we want to have the ability to change tracks, we better start getting that in place now. So here's some practicalities about your idea, but I don't want to get bogged down in that right now. We got it on the board. Mike?
Yeah? I thought he was at, for correct me if I'm wrong, I thought he was asking for having the information on what basis these folks were picked, were the criteria, so we would see
so,
that.
Yeah,
you would be able to see the criteria in which the city made its decision in more detail than the letter we got from Rosemary.
So we interpreted what you said.
What
say it again.
For?
Oh, no. My thought is that the city puts out, you know, a request for qualifications saying this group needs a guiding consultant, and that we ask for feedback right away, at their next meeting, which is a month from now, we look at who's responded, and then we don't go to council to get the money because we don't need to because it's less than $100,000, and then we're able to act on it.
Okay, so let's come back to the idea. Do you have a mitigator?
Oh. Is there any money spent by this committee has to go to council?
Yes, we're gonna do those.
I just want to say that.
Well, the water department can act on it.
See, that's why.
But the council has been very clear about the work you're doing, anything has to go back.
Okay.
We're just getting them on the paper now. Can we put that in the charter? Just because it's on the paper doesn't make it true. We're just going to get it up there. All right. Do you have a mitigator? I thought you did.
Oh, that we have a review process in place. Have we put that up there yet?
Is that the one where you get to say, you know what, these guys aren't working for us, we want somebody else, or is that the one where you have a peer review?
I actually want both in place.
They're both up there.
Review. I want technical review if possible, too.
They're both there. Suggestions? Oh, wise one of contracting?
I'll let you track the last statement, and I'll respond.
I strike
I
it.
I think what I heard from Sue Bowl, which I think is valid, it's important for us to have credibility in our community. That's probably more important than anything. Because without it, at the end of the day, that's everything. It's kind of like, you know, your reputation is all you have. And that's all we got. And that's all we're going to have. Erica had some great ideas about, I want to hear other names. And you said this when Rick was talking, and I'm going to say it because this is what I was thinking. Might be a way of mitigating this perception that the city's already selected the consultant, and, you know, this is a done deal, and, you know, we're marching down this path. What if the city, and maybe this would be Rosemary or Tina or someone, was to come to our next meeting and give us a presentation about how Stratus was selected to do the work that they are now hired to do. And I'm suggesting that because there must have been a process. This is a big contract. I'm assuming it was a qualifications-based solicitation.
Yes.
And so if you were to present to us, we issued this RFQ. In response to this RFQ, we obtained three proposals or five. We got a million proposals. We winnowed those proposals down. We narrowed it to the top three. We interviewed them. Here are the results of our interviews. We compared, you know, the expertise of this group compared to the expertise of that group. And this is why we chose Stratus. And us as a committee, we could listen to that presentation and we could affirm that work that was done already.
The work of hiring, not the work.
The work of hiring, right? Yeah, the scope and all that is, you know, that's our job anyway, is to figure out what the consultant's going to do. But the idea that we affirm the process that's already been chosen, and we affirm that this is in fact a well-qualified team that can serve our needs. So that might address the kind of
or not. We end up totally persuaded of the opposite.
Yeah,
we might. We might be. But I'm just saying, if. You know,
you're saying bring it out
into
the sunlight.
Here's a process by which we can sort of get the best of both worlds.
Okay.
We can honestly look at and hear from the universe of consultants who responded to the original RFQ and why this team is the most qualified. And if we can affirm that, great, then we're done. If we can, then we begin another process like, here's what we really need.
So an addendum to your suggestion is that you would wait another month before
hiring Stratus.
Yep.
I think that's... Yes, that would
okay.
be. The second part is in terms of our credibility. Another avenue of asserting or establishing our credibility in regards to the consultant selection is that we have in our back pocket at all times the ability to retain another consultant to render a second opinion, do a peer review, whatever we want. The other consultants to do, and that has a cost. But hopefully that cost would be under the $100,000 mark, and we could contract for that quickly, so we wouldn't have to go out. And I don't know the rules, so you don't have to explain this to everyone. But whatever the rules are, that, you know, we can get a second opinion for $10,000, and we can do that by our next meeting or in a timely fashion. And so by having that sort of as our bulletproof vest, so to speak, you know, boy, if we don't like what the consultants tell us, we'll get a second opinion. And, you know, we're aware of the bias that the perceived bias that a consulting team might have. We're gonna make sure that if that's a problem for us, we've got a way of dealing with that in an affirmative way. So that's my those are my two suggestions.
You've had your bias. In a way, I'm asking you, what color coat do you want when you already said, I don't want a coat? So you can pass on this mitigation idea.
No, I'm going to reaffirm that I'd like to look at more than one consultant this stage of the process. Because ideally, we don't want to have peer review. Ideally, we want to find the group we're comfortable with from the beginning and end the process. No way we can all test an option to review that, but this is really my...
David.
One of the things I think we need to do is really do our homework and vigorously examine the experts and whatever they tell us. You know, 40 years as a trial attorney using experts all the time and frankly examining the opposing party's experts. The devil is in the details. Things break. Things either withstand vigorous examination and or they break down. And part of what we need to do, and at times we may need an extra expert or a second expert to help us so that we know what to ask the experts that are before us. Keeping an open mind as to the resources we may need, but also going forward and being vigorous about how we do it.
Thank you. Charlie?
I like the approach of oversight from another possible consultant, or at least the ability to review alternatives. Somewhat dismayed that we all are already concerned about our public image and credibility, almost to the point that if we hire anybody who's had anything to do with the city before, it's going to be totally suspect and we'll all be for naught. So I would just hate to be in a situation where we don't do Stratus because there's some history or tie or prior engagement with DSAL. Or let's keep it as objective as we can and trust that this composition of the cross-section of the community is going to be wise enough, and that'll be recognized that the community will accept whatever direction we take. But that being said, I think it's good to provide at least a review of alternatives and have oversight along the way.
Thank you. So there are some... Oh, Eric.
So I just want to throw something out there that is maybe completely off the wall. We're working under this time frame of 12 months that's set by the city. But we're also talking about a really fundamental problem for our city. Like, we have a water problem. And 12 months is a very strict time limit, and I understand why we have it. To delay that by 4 months and to just think for a second that maybe this should be a 16-month process, and to really do our work right, to do it the right first time around and get the right consultants and just make sure we actually review multiple names, because we're not doing that now. We haven't actually had that possibility really presented to us. I think it's just something to consider. And I know we don't have the authority to, you know, extend ourselves or anything like that. And I know that probably everybody doesn't want to do that because, yes, it's a ton of work that we're doing. But just realistically, if we're going to do this the correct way and do this right, do we want to have this time frame that's kind of imposed on us and that really lessens our choices right at the beginning, right when we're worried about, I mean, forces to worry about public image, all these things. So.
Yeah, definitely. So
there are people in the audience who are in physical pain right now. They want to talk so much. How are we doing for time?
About 4:10.
So we only have 20 minutes left, really, functionally, in this session, right?
Yeah. So because we need to talk about the agenda for May.
Which is important.
We have some oral communications scheduled in there.
Is it legal to do the oral communication now, or do we have to do it again?
No, you do it whenever you like.
So if we do it now, we won't lose time for this conversation, and you'll be doing what you said you wanted to do in the public. So how many people are in physical pain they want to talk so much? No, how many people want to talk? Can I see some hands? Because I have to. Did you want to talk?
We're going to take the pain out. Rockman's attributing things to other people than you are, and I don't think that's very seemly under these circumstances. I wanted to say something earlier. Peter Haas is the name, but I know it's local. I like Sue's idea of getting local consultants. Put it out locally. That's all.
Thank you. So you were next.
I'm Jerry. I've also had a career as an engineer and in management, including I was responsible for corporate strategy. Very much agree with what you said about having a second opinion, available quickly. On my personal initiative, I went to Portland and talked with Gary Fisk, and who I found to be competent, and I was worried about his being the sole source with Confluence model. I would like to recommend that since much of your study is probably going to involve more than just the Santa Cruz area, but perhaps a larger part of the county, whatever model you might work from needs to be expanded from the present status of Confluence. And I would suggest that it also be made transparent at the same time. Like Gary could, I believe, in fact, I think it should be asked to reduce his software to spreadsheet form, Excel, so we can all read it, expand it, and make it transparent. Thank you.
This is Jerry's model that
you're
going
to
go? Is that Gary?
Gary.
Oh, he's Gary. Okay.
No, he's Jerry. He was talking about Gary.
Gary's model.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm
Celia.
I'm Scott. And I am a physical therapist. I really think it's a no-brainer that when you create the Citizens Committee, you give them input and some ability to make a choice, or at least influence the choice of these consultants who are going to work with them on a really serious problem. To me, that's just a no-brainer. And so I think you have been doing this unfortunate thing in a way, since the cart was put before the horse, as it were. And now that you are meeting, I think those of you who really want the things, who want the ability to have some choice here, at least to influence the choice directly, are on the right path, because it does matter. It does matter how this committee is perceived in the community. And if it's perceived in a way that it doesn't have credibility from the outset, I think that's going to be not helpful in the long run. So the timelines, here is not like etched in stone somewhere. That is absolutely necessary. That's the initial thought that this should take a year, hopefully. But it may take a little bit more. After all, the city's been doing water planning for a really long time, and now we're in another phase where we're having to rethink. So I think the rethinking has to be done in the most responsible possible way. And if the council needs to hear something on May 13th, they can hear that you want a choice, all the things that have been suggested here. And you want to have the ability to move forward and not slow things down, but you want to have input and you want more news.
I think that the suggestions of Ms. Stanovic and Mr. Beckman and Ms. Holt make a lot of sense of opening the process up and inviting a wider array of expertise makes a lot of sense to me. And the second of all, in terms of thinking about Stratus or any group that's had its hands around desalination before, I would be open to a group that has experience advocating for desalination if they could also show that they have experience given desalination, water transfers, water pricing, and water mutual development, that on some occasions they chose water mutual development strategies over desalination. On some occasions they chose water transfers over desalination. If on some occasions they chose desalination over other alternatives, okay, but let's see a mix.
Right, right, exactly. So if you saw a consultant who only ever recommended medical plants, you would be very suspicious. All right, thanks very much. So I want to ask the committee members, the first thing is, do you want to get to some form of recommendation today, or do you want to put it off for May, and that putting it off with late May, that putting it off could include Mark's idea of having the city report about the contracting process they used in order to get Stratus. So do you want to push for something today, or do you want to put it off? Which are you nodding at?
I think we push for something today.
All right. So, Mark, what that means is it might be useful to have the city report about the contract, but it can't be the prerequisite because people want to make a recommendation today, whatever way it is. Okay? So then where that takes us is now let's unpack what Rick was trying to say. Now, Rick, I believe that your underlying interests are to make sure that if you're to have a backup plan, it's in place. But there are some mechanics that are problems, and we need to hear from Rosemary or Tina, or maybe they could do it together because their colors go so well, about that option. I don't think they know how I'm talking about them. We want to hear from you about how the committee can make sure that their alternate track is potentially in place as soon as possible.
And the alternate track is?
Well, what Rick was saying earlier when Tina was wanting to respond and I wouldn't let her. Remember? Okay, I'm going to let Rick talk for himself. Rick, what was your alternate track?
Well, that we hear, you know, proposals from other consultants and that we somehow expedite the process of getting them on board, whether it's through the water department being able to exercise its own authority to spend up to $100,000.
So what?
Or whether we hire it through an existing, you know, I don't know the rules, but
what?
There's an existing contractor for the city that can expand their scope of work, and those people get hired.
Well, I think thought you said something about putting out an RFP and seeing who responded and letting the committee see what.
Yeah, I think that would have to be part.
So
it's not feasible between now and the next meeting.
Right, but help us out. If the underlying interest is to make sure that a wider array of experts may become available if needed, how would you do that?
I personally think that, David, do you want to talk first?
I have an idea about how we might do it. It's something that was mentioned in one of our earlier discussions was, and it's sort of along the line that Sue was talking about, is maybe we could, to help us get a second opinion, get some local experts, put together sort of a blue ribbon panel of local experts in the water area that would help us to review the work that we get from our consultants and make sure we're asking the right questions of them. And we have local people that, you know, apparently have qualifications. Maybe we could put together some mix. All right, so that's on point with the idea of having a review panel. Rick is attempting to make sure that the alternate hirees, the alternates to a Stratus, are in place as soon as possible. If you wanted to do that, draw us a picture of how that would be, just so we know what's real.
Well, kind of feel like we have to go back to the chart we drew when we first started the conversation about the spectrums, and you had procurement was part of them, and about how much authority you have here and there.
Exactly.
So if you look at the actual legal spectrum, it's down over here, whereas you're normally living in a space over here because there are real constraints. So when I hear things about, I'll talk about the money in a second, but about we want to interview, we want to select, that's going to be very, very tough. We're going to have to dance a fine line to make sure you're getting input, but you're not going to be a part of
this election are not going to be a part of interviewing. We're not going to bring in people and have you interview with them in mass. That's just not the way it's going to be able to work. So we're going to have to find a way to present some options and some ideas of what we can get input, but it's not the degree that I've been hearing around this table. It's not going to work within our systems. And so I just, that's why I was feeling nervous in the back, because I felt like everyone's getting really excited about something that's just not possible. Again, the council selects, and we assist them in that process. Second on the money, do you have any questions?
I'm just curious, that process for the consultants, is that like a sealed proposal?
It really depends. It's tied to the money. So the money was brought up. So I want to say first and foremost that even though the city does have various procurement levels that have various levels of review and authority, either authority for us to act independently or authority for us to get bids or authority for it to be a formal proposal, publicly noticed, all that stuff, and then with council approval. But what's different about you, again, is that, remember the fiduciary duty? We can't just say you go out and spend money. So even though whatever amount of money you want to spend, we have to get the council's okay. And there's lots of ways we can do that. We can do it on a case-by-case basis. Or maybe we get advance approval. And we say, you know, council, we've been thinking about this, and we like more flexibility, so we're not waiting a month and then having to, fit in with the timing of your meetings as well. But we'd like to have authority to spend this amount of money if we think it's worthwhile. I mean, we can set up those sort of mechanisms, but there's nothing in place now, obviously. You're brand new. And we'd have to, so if we want to spend any money, that has to go to City Council for approval. That was a concern they had, and I know the city manager has also, about this project. So then the procurement levels. $100,000 is our level at which things become very, very formal. So you guys, you remember. We had a great time. We put out a formal request for proposals. It was posted. It was out for a period of time. Responses came back in about 3 weeks, a month or so. They came back. We read all nine. We had an internal city team. We read all nine. We scored them. You know, we have a purchasing division in our finance department that advises us very strictly on how to go about this in accord with all rules. And so we score it, then they do it blindly, and then we bring in the top three to review, and then we select this wonderful team. It takes time. That's when we spend a lot of money. If you spend less than $100,000, between $100,000 and about $10,000, you have to get three bids for the work. And that can be a little less informal, but you're still soliciting formal bids from people. If it's under $10,000, you can just pick, we think this is the best value, and you can go for it. But again, for you guys, you're limited right now. We can set up mechanisms possibly for the future, but anytime you want to spend a dime, we're going to have to check in with the council.
So Tina, if people wanted to assuage their worries,
yes.
What would be the very best thing that could happen in the May 29th and May 30th meeting? What should they be doing? Let's say you go ahead and you hire Stratus for however that happens, and they're saying, yes, and we want our security blankets, and we want them as soon as possible.
You know, Carrie, I can't really respond to that because I've heard such a diversity,
yeah. And
this is such a long list, that I think that I don't really know, I don't have a sense of the meeting for what this committee wants.
Right, no, there isn't yet.
Yeah.
But we're on just the one, which is... Some of the tension went down when the idea, hey, if it turns out you don't like Stratus, you can hire somebody else. But the reality is that would have a time lapse. So to what extent can they put pieces in place in case they want to switch over to another consultant?
Well, can I respond to that a little bit? So one thing everybody needs to know, all city contracts always have a termination clause in it. So if it doesn't work out, you can, there's a termination clause. You're not committed. Your contract has a termination clause in it.
We can end it too.
That's two ways to agree. I think with respect to, someone, and I think it was Peter Haas, made the suggestion, I think you mentioned his name a bit ago, Erica, made this recommendation. He made it at the council. He sent you a letter about this sort of independent review panel. To me, that kind of has the ability of getting you the second party, overview. It gives you advice that's yours. It means the Stratus contract belongs to the city. It's not yours. And, our job is to use that resource, but you have an ability to peer review it and get advice on what questions you should be asking, what have you. I think that if we wanted to go in some direction that might need to go there, I think that there's an ability to sort of figure out how to get that together in a relatively quick time frame. It's more, it's additional money, but it's a built-in sort of, let's get the second party reviews structure in place. That's sort of what you said, David, a minute ago. It's this review panel idea that's been floating around out there a little bit.
So if I understand this right, we cannot go back and have you look under different with different glasses at the applicants we have gotten for this round of proposals.
I think that ship has sailed because of the time we've made the selection.
So they get.
I think that's correct.
So we have to then come up with
another
set of criteria or selection criteria we give you or we agree on. And put out a new request.
Yeah, you have to start all over at this point. Okay. But so I'm having a hard time answering Carrie's question because, as you can tell, there's a lot of nuance, a lot of things floating around in my head. So I'm trying to be helpful. But I think what would help me to answer the question is knowing what you're looking for. Because if you're looking just for a general contractor model, where you just want a person or two people, you know, that may, and it's, you know, as Doug was suggesting, $50,000 contracts. Things could be done more quickly than if you want to do another redo of the Stratus type model, which is a comprehensive, holistic team. That's over $100,000. Then we're back into the RFP or RFQ land, and that takes a lot of time. Because you're also assuming we're starting tomorrow, and we're not. You know.
Can the committee ask you right now to start exploring the panel idea if they ask that? Would that be enough to start putting some pieces in place together, or does that have to wait a month?
No, I mean, if they wanted us to look at that, we could certainly look at that.
Particularly if it went to a council recommendation on the 13th, I guess, for it.
Ah.
Council asked for a recommendation from you, and their next meeting is in, like, no time.
Okay. Thank you. And Nicholas is going to test his brevity is wit, and he's going to go through the mitigation list. If there's any that people have objections to, make them known now.
Can
I have a point of information just real quick? Has the city already hired Stratus?
No.
We do not have a contract with them. We have done a selection process. The selection process was done about a year ago for a project involving...
Yes. But you haven't hired them for this?
No. There was a contract
okay.
provide that on the April 8th council agenda that got continued.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
I don't understand why you can't go back.
All right, so we're going to go through the mitigation.
I'll go through this. You'll maybe recognize the mitigation that you mentioned. If I mess up, tell me. So the first one I got was the recon budget and timeline be really specific and limiting. 50 grand would be the maximum. It would only be for the general contractor.
Are you willing to add in Gary Fisk?
Sure.
Okay.
But we decided that.
All right.
Okay, and maybe else. Maybe GM.
My point with that was that we're accepting Stratus as someone that we'll try to work with in the interest of expediency. We want to evaluate the team. We were presented with the Stratus team. I'm not willing to accept the Stratus team.
Okay.
So this kind of comes to what you were just saying now. And you want to assert and also understand the scope of the committee's control over the general contractor and maybe an oversight committee, a contract oversight committee. That would be your own subcommittee. We're not talking about it. Then, a tech review for second opinions.
So just a second. Did you want us to comment about these things as you're going?
No, if I got it right,
then
just keep quiet. But if you said this, which you didn't, then I think it was
great. What I said is that people object, they should let us know.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I object to the $50,000 limitation. I don't think we have any way of knowing what is adequate for these guys to do their jobs and what is an appropriate budget number.
Okay, we'll hold that thought.
I'll put a little stuff around it. Come back to it. Then the next one that we got was a tech review or a second opinion, some mechanism to achieve that. The next one was we need to immediately issue an RFQ so we can change tracks when we need to, and at the next meeting see who responds to that RFQ that's immediately issued.
And that one got a kibosh.
But that got a kibosh on
it.
Not a time.
Maybe I should show that it got the Bosch.
Not that it's an interest camp.
No, it's an interesting one,
but the only part that's not operative is by the next meeting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's still moving. So that's good.
So we should keep this?
Yes.
No, it's like you go pick one path or the other. You can't do both.
I'm not objecting to this because I'm going to speak for Rick and everybody else again. Because my understanding of this is, okay, we've got this provisional period that I established, right? We're operating along. There's going to be a renewal here at some point. There's going to be a conscious decision, a mindful choice, as some actors might say, to move forward or not. And that's going to be based on our experience working with these people and presumably our ability to evaluate alternatives. So that I would think having an RFQ out there for the body of the work, to which Stratus, I would expect, would respond, as well as others, then we'd have a review process to decide who we're going to go forward with. That's
so
how I understand.
So we would frame this as issue RFQ as soon as practicable or blah, blah.
Yeah, with a decision point consistent with the end of the recount period.
Nice. Very nice.
With a decision... Oh. So we can change tracks at end of recount. Well, that's the whole point. Okay. So, you know, we're writing all over... so I'm sort of going to write step here.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay. Do we take this out at the next meeting to see the response? Is that
part?
That does.
Alright.
Okay, next one. Next one. The committee's credibility is essential. Remember this one? The city comes to the next meeting to describe how Stratus was selected.
All right. Do you like that idea? No, nobody objects to us?
Well, there's one more thing about this. We could affirm the selection process or not.
Well, that's been struck because people want to decide today.
Okay.
And they can't.
So what's
left is that the city would come and explain the contracting process next month.
But there'd be no sale.
Well, I
think that what my intent, and I think that was my idea, was that the city would explain the process by which Stratus was selected, and we would have the opportunity to affirm that process or not
right.
at that time.
And then I had
so if we have to do that today, then that's obviously infeasible for today, but for that process, it would be next meeting.
But would you like them to come and present anyway?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're going to present.
That would be very valuable.
But then
this
part is gone.
Okay, so this is going.
No, why do you strike that out of curiosity?
They can't affirm the selection process if you make a recommendation today.
It could be considered next time.
It's because people want to consider it today.
There was only one, but this was not a wide discussion. I mean, ideally, we want to come to a conclusion today, but...
To a conclusion, right. Did I say affirm? I'm sorry, I get tired, too. Okay. Leave a question mark there.
Yeah. Leave a question mark.
All right.
Then, read the next one.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so I think this relates to the one we were just discussing where everybody's interpreting what Rick wanted. getting a contract to provide second opinion whenever you need it. So I think that's subsumed under some of the other ones. Does everybody agree with that one?
Yes.
All right. Be aggressive in scrutinizing the info that you get. Oversight from other experts, I believe that's the panel idea again. Everybody agree with that one? Step back and say we don't have to decide today because the timing should be what it is. You don't agree with that?
Now this was the comments.
Yes.
Sometimes in a consensus process it's helpful for somebody who disagrees with where things are going or what the concern is to try and figure out if they can solve the other person's concern. It doesn't always work, but it's worth a shot. I think what's the best way for me to articulate my view that's may be helpful to other people that are more concerned about this, potentially existing contract than I am, is to say, I'm not ready to dump them on the basis of the a specific thing in RIPRIS, for example, it's not yet enough sufficient evidence for you that they're not capable of doing what we need. But I want to assert as somebody who's more comfortable with them than other people are, that my understanding is that at some point this committee is uncomfortable with them. It could happen later, not today based on what I've been presented with, but they show up and they don't answer questions, they seem to be pushing us in a direction, not listening, not helpful. Then maybe there's no choice. And I also don't want to go to 16 months because I think the public's going to be beating us up after the June water bills come. Why aren't we done yet, you know? Which is not the case until now, but it's going to change radically in a month. But I really think that people have to understand that I would be somebody who would quickly be joining a group who wanted to say, this contract's not working, we need to replace it, we need something extraordinary. Yes, we need another 4 months, let's just blow the whole thing up. It's not going to work because even I don't have confidence in these people, or at least our group collectively doesn't have it. So that's, I just want to offer that as something that would make it less objectionable to imagine starting with them for this short period with all the other caveats and mitigations that we're not looking at.
All right. So an additional mitigation would be to affirm that the committee can say at some point, these guys aren't working for us.
Yeah, based on our experience with them, not on maybe their earlier stuff or something.
So any other comments?
I will share one, if I may. If I understand correctly, Rosemary, the selection of Stratus at the core came out of the interviews we did about a year ago for the economic study. I was on the interview panel for that. This group was so far superior to the other candidate that finally made it to the interviews that it was unanimous in the room of the people who were doing the interview. There wasn't even a question about it. We concluded the second interview and we looked at each other and said, Stratus is so obviously better that they are the one we would pick for this. These people, I was impressed with them in a combination of comprehensive knowledge in the field, ability to answer questions and to be responsive, and frankly, they've got a great pedigree. They've got a great resume. They are amongst the top, if not the top people in their field.
Okay. So, deep breath, everybody. Where we are is if you had the mitigation that's listed here. And there's actually one thing that I don't think is on and that I think should be, because I keep going back to the kernel of what you were saying, or what I imagine is the kernel of what you were saying, which is at the next meeting, would you come and help them understand what pieces they can get in place so that if they decide they want to hire another contractor at whatever level, they're as ready as possible?
Does that mean, can you say more about that?
Thank you. You have an interest in being able to hire different contractors. It's one thing to say you can pull the plug on Stratus if you choose to, but you'll be stuck in the same problem if people say, yeah, but it'll take 4 months to get somebody else. Are there any work that this committee could do in order to at least be better prepared if they want to go to another consultant? Like figuring out what their criteria are for.
So are we talking about the general contractor? Are we talking about a different hydrologist or a modeler or a different engineer?
All right. Both. All of the above. Could the city come back and teach the committee if in fact you want your own general at the end of recon, or you want different sub-consultants, these are the different processes that you're going to have to be ready for.
We can describe the purchasing process and the stepwise mechanisms that are involved in that. Is that what you're asking us to do?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We can do that.
So that's on the agenda for May. Dana's got a scalpel.
I'm new to this discussion here, so I don't really understand the relationship of the Water Commission to the City Council and the city in general. I was wondering if we could explore that a little bit. I'm wondering if what David is saying is, like, if an independent group has come to this conclusion that these consultants were chosen in an unbiased way, and that decision was so easily made, can we use the Water Commission's, or can we use you, or can we use, you know, to make that point?
I can respond to that. I mean, I was the only person other than city staff that was part of the interview team. It was all people from the Water Department and various sections of it that had expertise to the extent that they have it in the various areas that was part of the what they were interviewing the candidate for. And I was invited because they knew that I was pushing for us to study the economic impacts, that I was the one on the commission who had pushed for it. And got so, but the commission is a standing body that advises the council on all things water.
And the commission is associated with the desal alternative, so people don't necessarily trust that.
Correct.
Oh, who was next? I have no idea.
I want to clarify the 4 month period. This is only, I understand this is only for a contract over $100,000. If it's under $100,000, this could be much shrunk, right?
Could be shorter.
Okay, just want to make this clear.
But,
yeah.
But again, there are procedural steps, and the more it costs, the more procedural steps that are
involved. Right, but if you say in that frame for the first phase on $100,000, we could pick somebody with it.
But I think the main difference, I just want to sort of reinforce what Tina said earlier, the main difference in other circumstances between an over 100,000 and an under 100,000 is that under 100,000 in other circumstances, I have the authority to sign. In this case, she has made it clear to you multiple times in this conversation, it doesn't matter whether it's over or under 100, it's still going to have to go to the council, and that's the big difference between, there's a significant difference in those two processes. That one doesn't require a council, and the other one does, but in this case, they both do.
But there are other requirements that extend the over $100,000.
Well,
yes. Correct. That's what
it
is.
A little bit more formalized at the RFP stage, but you still have to get bids under 100,000. So, you know, it becomes kind of six of one, half a dozen.
Well, the city council is now our own. We can accelerate this if we have to, maybe. But there are other legal requirements that refer to the bigger contract we cannot change. Just want to make this very clear. There are things we can push.
So we know then that on the agenda for the next meeting will be an explanation of the Stratus hiring, and there will be a more in-depth discussion of, hey, if you want to do this, these are the pieces that will have to happen. And probably that doesn't need to continue today.
And then you'll bring us back this list of mitigations, I assume.
Well, the list of mitigations is essential to a decision if, in fact, you decide to decide. But there was another hand up.
Well, I make a proposal for what it's worth. Is the city able to contract with Gary Fisk just to...
We have a contract with Gary Fisk.
We already have. So Gary Fisk, for people who don't know, is he's the one that wrote the Integrated Water Plan, published in 2003, that set the course for desalination. And you all got my email after the council meeting that decided to put off the hiring. So there's some problems I have with Gary Fisk because I think he missed some really crucial things. But nevertheless, as Rosemary pointed out, he's got this confluence model, and apparently he's the only one who knows how to run it. We used to have somebody in the department who ran it, and apparently somebody could get trained in the future to be able to run it. Lynette Allman used to run it. But my proposal would be that we go ahead with this idea of Gary Fisk being the one who gets us up to speed in this, what do we call this first phase?
Recon.
The recon. That Gary Fisk be the guy in the recon period. And then while that's going on, the way that Doug had described, there's a request for proposal out there so that in that time period, if it's 4 months, then Stratus and whoever else wants to compete to take us the rest of the way can do that.
So would you like to do a straw poll?
Yeah.
Let's do a straw poll. How many people want to go for that?
Wait. Before we do that, Heidi, could you, Gary and his work much better than I do. Maybe you talk a little bit about your sense of his familiarity with the full range of issues. I just want there to be adequate information on the table before you go.
And I hadn't really thought about that idea before you brought it up, so it's going to take me a minute to get my thoughts together. But we did hire Gary Fisk back in the 1990s, and he developed our curtailment study. And then beyond that, he did the integrated water plan, like you said. The the component that he would take to the Stratus contract is really the modeling, the Confluence modeling, which is different than what we're hiring Stratus for, which is really looking at the economic impacts of water supply, not water supply, but also the whole resource piece that Gary doesn't have. So I think there would be a hole that would still need to be filled if we were just to hire Gary. Like Rosemary said, we have Gary on the contract and we love that work for us. But my worry is that the resource economy part, the economic impacts in the community, the range of alternatives that may or may not have an economic or ecological impact, that's the piece that I think we'd be missing if we didn't, in fact, hire a broader, bigger team. So there's a lot of questions that Gary could answer for us now, because we do have him under contract, but I think there's a lot more questions that you're going to have that just won't be part of that conversation.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know, I kind of feel like this whole discussion is kind of pre-decisional. I mean, we don't yet know what we are going to be asking this consultant to do. So how are we going to procure the right consultant for that job? You know, I mean, we have a general sense of what we're going to be asking this consultant to do. But, I mean, I don't know. I think we're way ahead of ourselves if we're making a big deal out of something that may or may not be that big a deal.
And so which way, meaning about the proposal that's on the table?
Well, the proposal that's on the table.
Riggs.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that, but I lost it.
Well, okay, so we have Riggs' proposal, which is use what I think of as the bits and pieces, and I don't mean that pejoratively, but FISBE would be one piece, and the city expertise would be other pieces, whatever. And that would be sufficient to get to RECON, and that would give you the time to be over a little bit further on the left on your empowerment thing in terms of the procurement, but you would get a procurement. So that's what, is that a fair summary?
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, in my mind, a study of the economic hit that the city would take in a drought would not be part of that RECON more than we've already done. I mean, Fisk already did 2001, he already did that, which was a study of the different hits economically that different sectors would take. So we've got something to go on.
So you wouldn't be worried about losing the economic nuance. And I think Heidi was saying there's the economic nuance, there's the stuff Fisk does, and then there's other stuff. So we have the Longinati proposal. The other one that I think was floating around in the air is let's go ahead with Stratus as the general, with all these mitigations and limitations that were listed here.
Particularly the one that it's not an assumption that they're going to carry through for the entire project.
Exactly.
That's the biggest of the mitigations I thought people would consider.
Yeah. So there's, I shushed you on the idea of the 50,000 being enough, and we didn't get back to it. Do you want to get back to that now?
Look, to me, there's a more fundamental issue that we're dealing with. And if we need to take some time to deal with it, then maybe we do need to delay our decision and take some time to deal with it. We've got a water department, and we've got a director, and we've got staff. Do we have confidence in them at all to actually maybe know a little bit more than we do about what we need in our team of experts to help counsel us? I mean, if we, you know, they've come to us and they said, you're likely to get into all these different areas that the team we've put together has yet. And why would we want to narrow the scope of the team rather than keeping it broad so that whatever we get into is there, and if it doesn't work out, we can change?
Okay, so what I think you're saying then is, if we can't decide for the whole package, let's not decide today.
No, I'm saying either decide for the whole package or examine the reasons why we can't and why we don't have any confidence in our staff.
Well, okay, so as a practical matter, that seemed to kind of go the same way. So then there's a third alternative, which is to not try to decide today. Yes?
I worry that if we don't deliver to council our firm sense, council is going to decide for us.
Okay. All right.
I don't know how real that is, but I think
right.
We need to assert that.
So, you know, because I love you all so much, this has not been an interest-based discussion, because those take longer. And they often kind of end up with this kind of feeling. Now, first of all, what time is it?
It's 10 minutes to five.
So if we're going to do this, we're going
to...
Are we allowed to continue beyond five?
If you want to continue beyond five, we can do whatever you want. We've got room for 1 hour.
So do you have... What is your feeling about that?
I felt that a few more minutes made a difference, sure, but if I think it's like we're just lost and we're going to be here for 2 more hours, no.
So let's do a straw poll.
I bet I'm speaking for the group.
So who is for the straw poll idea? Who is for putting this off until the next meeting? Okay. Interesting. Who is for working with the consultants and expertise that it already is in place and initiating a de novo contracting process?
Can you identify all the options before you
choose? Very good.
Maybe
yeah.
What we can put is who can support, because I imagine each of us can support more than one of these.
Okay. So I think there's three. There's don't try to decide today. Go ahead to Stratus in the limited way. And initiate to know.
And initiate an alarm. Yeah. That was what we were just talking about.
No.
That's one of the mitigations.
It's just the mitigations. And then the other one was the existing expertise. So I've seen three options. Did I miss anything?
Say that briefly. Yeah,
all right. Don't try to decide today. Go ahead with Stratus with all the mitigations. I like with the mitigations a lot better than in limited way. And the third one is to use the existing expertise and start the de novo contracting process.
Can I ask a qualification on that third option? Are we allowed to do that? It seems to me that we don't have as a committee a fiduciary responsibility.
No, they don't have to do it.
Allowed to do, I'm sorry, which one are you talking about?
Starting a new contracting process. And that brings up this this graph. So basically, if you pick the, let's go ahead with Stratus, but let's manage the bejesus out of them. You're over here on the control. If you say we want the city to start a new contracting process, you're significantly further to this direction because you will have less control over procurement than you will over management. But of course, wherever you procure, you'll eventually manage.
Right.
So.
Back to that same place.
All right.
So is the reason that the independent review panel isn't on that?
That's one of the mitigations.
One of the mitigations?
So,
as opposed to, I mean, the way it was described earlier was Stratus is the city's contractor. The panel or the committee has an independent reviewer. Mm-hmm. That's their that basically supports them. And it's not about Stratus being the they're our contractor, they're not for the committee.
Is there a way that we don't think of that as a mitigation?
Well, I think that having an independent review panel is not, it's a mitigation for, it's a moving ahead without necessarily having there be, a committee does not have to agree to have Stratus.
Oh, that they should have the review panel either way. Okay. Yeah, that certainly.
That's not.
I mean that.
I think that, let's start with something that you can agree on. How do you feel about asking the city to start the contracting process and the discussion with you so that you can establish an independent review panel, no matter who else is working on your contract?
Yes. I'm in.
All right.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure not everybody got the letter from Peter Haas who recommended that. And I think that should be part of it.
We did forward the letter.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So,
yes.
So, but besides which, everybody just said yes. Or they would have said yes if they weren't so tired. So instead they said no. Okay, so
we like that.
Yeah!
So I guess one of the questions, though, then is the committee in favor of having that and letting the city go off and hire whoever the hell it wants to do that technical analysis? Because now you have an independent reviewer that can review their work, give you ideas about what to tell them to do, et cetera.
So you have, without the mitigations.
Yes.
Without any limitations at all.
Well,
yes.
Because this is a big mitigation, I guess.
Yeah, all right, so we need another color. You're so amazing.
That's fine.
All right, I'm okay. Put in whatever color you want.
Blue.
City does whatever they want to, now that you have your review panel and promised to you. Yeah.
And if that's an option, a way to build consensus around is to ask the people that are most nervous about it what additional mitigations would, at least without necessarily committing that you're going to accept it in the end, but what other mitigations make that better or more attractive? Or
I tried
less
pretty hard to ring out any mitigations, but if you got any more?
See, that wouldn't come from me. As I said, mm-hmm. The people that are concerned that we're going to be stuck with a general that's not what we want should articulate what else would make them feel comfortable. At least not comfortable, more comfortable than not.
Erica and Mickey.
Well, I just want to go back to, I want that out if we do start to feel uncomfortable, and I want it to be done in a timely manner. So, I mean, if that does mean the city initiates another RUTF right now, then maybe that's, like, one of the mitigations that we keep.
Well, the way I'm seeing it, Erica, and I'm getting a little foggy, is this is the city does what it wants, and this one here is go ahead with Stratus, but with all sorts of limitations, and that would be one of the limitations.
Okay.
So I'm looking for something that puts the two together, because I'm trying to get people to feel comfortable with the end of the year, that they're not being, it wasn't a choice against their interest, that basically say, no, don't just say let the city do what they want. Let, you know, we'll start with the Stratus thing. We'll put all the mitigations on there. We can put on there to make it the strongest it can be. We'll have a shared understanding, which is best we can articulate it, that if this goes sideways, the things that some of us might not like to have happen, take it an extra 4 months, all those bad things, we're going to go there because we have no choice at that point. The minute this committee loses confidence in its consultants, we've got to do something radically different than just be...
All right, so what I want to do is eliminate what...
That wouldn't happen.
I'd like to lower the number of things before I start parsing them.
Sure.
So what I think really you're saying, Mike, is that if we, even if there is a review panel, if it's just city does what it wants without the ability to go, you're not going to go for it.
I think there's others here that will not go for it.
All right, so let's see a show of hands. If it's just city does what it wants, you get your review panel, how many people would go for that option?
I'd live with that.
You'd live with support it.
Can I make a comment? Mm-hmm. I mean, the point of the review panel in this situation, and I have worked in collaborative problem-solving processes where something like this exists, is that... Yes, we are managing the consultant who are doing the technical work, but your review panel is really creating a good dynamic between our technical consultants and your technical consultants. And so you don't, unless, you know, you don't like the color of their hair or you really feel like they're playing fast and loose with the facts, it seems hard for me to imagine how you would get to a place where you would say, we don't like these people and they're going away. Maybe that would happen, but... The point of the two independent, the two technical results is that they help manage each other. They have a good dynamic group give and take, and you get to give the one direction about helping you understand what the other guys say and also telling the other people what you want, what work you want. And we're open to managing our consultant to serve your needs.
Okay.
Well, since we are lobbying here for the different options I want to put in, that once we are in a, we have a consultant on board, it'll be very hard to find that point where we are saying, this doesn't work anymore, because it's very gradual, you know, you get used to it and you mitigate some of it and then you go another step and then you're so long in the process, to change consultants would be not very practical. And that's why I like Rick's proposal, and I haven't heard this before. to start with something we have, to get us filled in, take a few months, and then we know which questions to ask and what scope we actually want from our consultants. This is very comfortable to me. But going with the with one that actually the city council said, no, let's wait, let's not do this, because it's not only us, it is, I mean, there are more concerns about this. Mm-hmm. It's not very, you know.
I'm trying to winnow here, because we have a lot of combinations and permutations. So, but
to help with the winnowing, and I just want to be sure I've heard Rosemary correctly, because I could swear I've heard a shift in vocabulary here. And now I'm hearing that the Stratus team are the city's consultants. And I'll have to admit that while the city's doing the procurement, it's been my understanding that these folks were going to be working with and for us.
Managed by us.
Right, and so there was a distinction between procurement, management, and scoping, and an increasing role for the committee as you move through those things, a changing mix over time. I'm concerned, Rosemary, that you slid into, you're managing these consultants and we're taking the work project.
No, it's a different, in this model where I was specifically talking about, you have an independent review panel, and this is not the idea I put forward. This is actually Peter Haas's idea as he presented it at the City Council on April 8th, and then I think it's written into the letter he wrote that you all got as well. The structure of that is you have your technical expertise, the committee's independent review panel. The city is managing the consultants, and it's really our consultants. So, yes, there's an issue there about how we get direction, and that part of it I described, which is, you know, you would still tell them to do, but they would be managed by us, and they would be our consultants. You don't have to own them. They don't have to be yours.
So she
helpful
did shift.
I did.
Was
a shift, but the context
it was
changed.
For a reason.
Yes. That I didn't
it's
know.
A different thing
okay.
from,
pick up.
It's a different thing from you, the mitigation. So it is a different, that's why I wanted to have it on there as a separate option, because it really is
that.
Different.
Thank you.
So, what I'm understanding then is a benefit for that actually goes to what Sue's point was, because now you're going to the public and you're going, these are our consultants. That would be the peer review people, and those are their consultants. And we have a dynamic with them. So thanks for forcing me to understand why that was important. But I didn't get to winnow.
Sorry.
All right, so here's the world as I understand it. There's the city already has the Kennedy-Jenks relationship. They might as well continue on. While you have your brand new peer review people, there is the, we will have, a general consultant, in this case Stratus, with all the mitigations that we described, and it's our consultant between the committee and the council, in which case you have more of a public perception problem to deal with. The next one is do not decide today, because I think the and then there's RICS, which is the idea of doing the RFQ de novo, not for the peer review panel, but for the general contractor.
But that wasn't really my idea. I understood that to be part of the mitigation that Doug was recommending.
Mm-hmm. RICS was out of the room when you mentioned the first alternative. He was actually here all the time.
Yeah. There was a hand.
Yeah, because the what Doug suggested, combined with the peer review panel, to me was the more preferable option, which is that we manage the Stratus team with all the components through city staff, but that we also have the independent group of experts to for us to test it against. So and I don't see why we wouldn't want to have both of those things. Yeah, you know, it's in essence as though you are getting your first opinion from Stratus and getting your second opinion from your team of experts, but you're managing them both. And I don't know why we would want to let go of that.
Thank you.
a bit of a duplication of effort, but if that's what we need to do to get over the hump.
Well, what it addresses really is that question that people have about credibility with our local public.
Yeah.
So we have a team of experts that we will manage who was brought in and recommended by our water department and who are leaders in their field. But we will also have a separate panel that, and I don't know if these people are going to be paid or if we're going to get them to do it ad hoc. We haven't even worked out those kinds of things. But that basically we would be putting together a panel of local people that this group will approve who's on that panel, that we're satisfied with their qualifications to bounce off what we get from our consultants, get a second opinion, make sure we're asking the right questions, that will make it a more robust discussion so that we can make a better informed decision.
All right. Are we at all undermining our consultants' not authority, but their, I mean, you know, having someone looking over your back.
They're just making a recommendation. They don't get paid less if you don't take their recommendation.
They have to understand the waters they're dipping into.
It's not just that, Dana. I mean, I've dealt with this many times over the years. I'm an attorney, right? People often want to get a second opinion from another attorney.
Yeah.
And the thing that I wind up saying to them is, great, I just hope that you fund your and educate your second opinion so that they can actually give you an opinion. And it's not just off the top of their head without an adequate knowledge of the base. And that's going to be part of the challenge that we're going to have to deal with. But being in a position where you actually have more than one opinion that you're considering is not a bad thing.
Is there anybody objecting to this way of speaking? Are you close to a sense of the body or a consensus or something? Okay.
So what is it?
You just said I'm afraid to say it. I saw everybody nodding. That's what, I only asked that not because I was saying
that we accept and recommend to council that they hire the Stratus consulting team as proposed by staff as our primary consultants experts that we as a committee will manage. But that we also figure out how we want to impanel a panel of local experts to bounce things off and give us a second opinion. So that we actually have some expertise telling us, I think your consultants are missing something, I think you're missing something, or here's the questions that should be asked.
We are reserving some mitigations on the first part of that still.
Well,
so the first group ends up digging their heels in, don't seem to want to respond to questions, pushing us in directions we don't feel like we want to be pushed, we have the right to speak up and not just like suffer through that for the entire 12 months.
I mean, I don't think...
Okay, wait a second. We got a problem. They need the room.
Okay.
Ah. So, I mean, here's the deal. You have the division where you have the peer review that the committee owns and the general contractor that the city owns. You have the new general contract, and you have the Stratus, which was written with mitigation, including the peer review. And how much of that mitigation is involved in your idea, David?
We're managing Stratus and their work, so any and all of it is in there. We will decide as we go what we need.
Okay, so was there nodding around the room at the idea of going ahead with Stratus, having the peer review, and having whatever mitigation?
Just a clarification, I think I'm in alignment with that. Just to be clear, I think us managing Stratus means that there's not a whole team named by the council as part or the water department.
That was one of them. That was absolutely one of them. But one of them, too, was a
no,
team.
What I suggested was that we approve the team as proposed by Rosemary in the package that was there. If we find that there are components we think need to be replaced, we can tell them. If things are working great, we can tell them. If we decide there are things we need to do to manage them more effectively, we get to make those decisions.
So hold on. So in that mitigation list, what I'm hearing from David is, instead of slapping all those constraints on right from the get-go, you slap them on as you need them. Are you comfortable with that?
To me, it's like, I think what we're trying for is, Stratus, it is. And we're asking them to do what we ask them to do. So they don't go hiring Kennedy Jenks to do something unless we've asked them to do that, right?
All right, so here's the deal. We have to go. I don't want to do the agenda for May. We've got to get some advice from you. Can I recommend that you recommend this option and you discuss in the May 30th meeting exactly which restrictions you want?
want to put on. And that way you can get the contract in place, you can get the thing from the council, and you guys aren't rushed into deciding whether, in fact, which limitations you want to put on right away and which ones you want to put later.
So to clarify, the contract that we took to the council was a task order-based contract that included the Stratus team that were listed there, Gary Fisk, and Kennedy Jenks. That was the team. The rest of the people listed in that letter that I sent you are already on contract and will be available to support the committee's work. That's Bill Madouse, that's the fisheries guys, that's the anybody else we happen to have, the water rights attorney, the whatever.
Okay.
But Rosemary, you're open to dropping Kennedy Jenks and Fisk if need be.
Fisk, as I said earlier, and I apologize for this, I don't have a way to replace the work that Fisk can do.
What about making it a contingent that Fisk has to train somebody in the water department to run that software?
In what time frame? You know, while this is all going on?
Whatever, just so that we're not dependent on him whenever we need to run some numbers.
Is that his software or our software?
It's his proprietary software.
But like Madouse has given us his software.
But we can't require Fisk to give us his software.
You can buy it from him.
Well, apparently.
If the council were to go forward with what you proposed the last time, can you hold off on the Kennedy Jenks and Fisk part until the committee has had another chance to figure out these pieces on the mitigation side?
Yeah, I suppose, and I guess that if that's what you want me to do, I can do it. But as the Kennedy Jenks one, I think there's some more wiggle room. I don't have any wiggle room on this. If you guys want modeling results,
great. Then Rosemary, you can come back in May and say, guys, you don't have any choice. The thing is, we have to get out of the room. So what I'm understanding is you have a note that you're sending to the council, which will read, the committee has words. Constructively and highly effectively and sweetly, no, it doesn't say that, to establish its charter. It has established two subcommittees, a website subcommittee and a charter subcommittee. The committee asks that the Director of Water Resources be added as an ex officio member. And then it will say, the committee recommends that the Water Department proceed with the Stratus blah, 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 on condition that we get our peer review. And then you have a trust between people agreement that Rosemary isn't going to continue do a whole lot with Kennedy Jenks or Fisk until we have the conversation at the end of May. Does that work?
No, sorry. This is the most important, this is one of the most important decisions we are making here, and I don't want to do this under pressure. I don't know. In fact, I haven't read the contract. I'm sorry. I don't want to hold up the process, but this is so important, and there were other opinions that went exactly not in this direction. And it looks like we are pushed to just accelerate this all of a sudden. I'm going to be comfortable.
Okay.
Well, that's one person.
Well, I'm ready to go with Peter.
Okay, that's two.
Can we move outside, or is that...
Well, no, let's find... Is there anyone else that does not want us to make this decision as proposed to go forward? That's two.
I'm getting uncomfortable that we're pushing this through.
Yeah, it feels pushy. So, can we move outside?
I'll find out. You know, I'm a little reluctant to just continue this meeting. It doesn't sound like we're getting any closer to a solution. And I actually have a date with my wife, and while I can call her and delay that, if I thought it was going to be 10 more minutes, like what Mike said earlier, it's been 15 minutes, so we're five now. It doesn't sound like we're going to resolve this in the next 15 minutes. I really would just say, let's just call it a day.
Okay, let's call it a day. What do you want to be sure to cover in your main meeting?
This would be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Make
so,
sure we cover in our main meeting.
I think that...
We're going to have the rest of our charter. Hopefully we'll be back in our charter.
You'll get a report back from your charter subcommittee.
All right. So, and it is the... I asked the city lawyer specifically... How much can I be doing this thing where I ask you guys for information? I can do it as much as I want, and Nicholas too. It's just sending it back to you in that iteration. So I will ask you for agenda ideas. How do you want to evaluate all three sessions? What do you say?
Well,
Good job.
Moving forward.
Moving forward.
And thank you very much.
We have not come across anything that we couldn't handle.
We really like the facilitator.
Well, that's what we want to get.
Thank you.